జయ విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయ ఓంతిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గౌవ గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్ శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాది దరద చార్తేష్ విజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది గవై ముహ్యంతి సూరయ తేజో వారి మృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహగం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్ర వరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్ నిగమగల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుకాః సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తావత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనువేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమాజుహావాం పుత్రేదిదన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాల్పదీపమదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం തം വ്യാസസൂനമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണോ കൊണിദാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണീ നിർവിശേഷാ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാം യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമഃ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരകാം വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So this long instructions from Krishna to Uddhava, more or less it has come to the end in this chapter, because some of the topics in this discussions with Uddhava, Krishna has expanded them. He has expanded them. And this chapter, 28th chapter, why Krishna has given these instructions to Uddhava? Because if you remember, when Krishna started the instructions, Krishna told Uddhava, give up everything, all connections with this world. That's how it started, isn't it? Remember in the 7th chapter, very famous verse that is. Actually, it is an expansion of that verse, the rest of the Bhagavatam. Ekadasham, whole instructions to Uddhava is an expansion of that one verse. Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu mayavishya mana samyak samadrak vijarasvagam. I think it's in the 7th chapter. So, Krishna told Uddhava at that time, that only remembering Krishna without remembering about anyone else in this world, walk through this world. That was the final instructions to him. And break all connections with the world. That's another സ്നേഹം സ്വജനബന്ധുഷു സർവം പരിത്യജ്യ. സ്വജനം മീൻസ് യുവർ ഓൺ പീപ്പിൾ, ബന്ധുഷു റിലേഷൻസ് ഫ്രണ്ട്സ് സൊസൈറ്റി ഓൾ ദാറ്റ്. കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി ബ്രേക്ക് ദ ഹോൾ റിലേഷൻഷിപ്സ് സെയ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ടു ഉദ്ധവ ആൻഡ് വാക്ക് ത്രൂ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ഉദ്ധവ ഈസ് റെഡി ഫോർ ദാറ്റ് ടു അക്സെപ്റ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ഷൻസ്. But Uddhava says, I just don't have the strength to do that. I'm willing to do it, but I just don't have the strength to do it. Uddhava is saying to Krishna. So finally, Uddhava says to him, how can I do it? What should I do? How can you help me to do that? To break all these connections with this world? Prepare me in that way, Uddhava says to Krishna. Make me ready for that. Because if Krishna wants it, this can happen. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Everybody's case, it's like that. Krishna has to prepare us for that. On our own, we don't have the strength to do these things. Particularly this chapter. What Krishna has spoken, this chapter practically brings down the Bharata-Rahugana Samvadam, Bharata Maharshi's discussions with Rahugana. That essence, the cream of that. Hamsa Gita, in the 13th chapter of the 11th canto, when Kumara has discussed with the swan, Hamsam, that discussion. Then, other places, Dattatraya Maharshi spoke about his realizations. All of them, Krishna has brought it and put it into this chapter. That's the beauty of this chapter. In this Ekadasha Skandam, there is no other chapter as important as this. And at the same time, it is one of the most difficult chapters. When you go through this chapter, you will realize that what Krishna is saying to us, that Uddhava says to Krishna, give me everything what's necessary and prepare me to come up to that level, what you have instructing me to. Otherwise, Uddhava even acknowledges that it is not possible. Uddhava is asking Krishna, you prepare me in such a way that I can come up to that level. And saying this, Uddhava surrendered. Sharanagari. Uddhava says to Krishna, I have no other source where I can surrender to except your lotus feet. And saying this, Krishna surrenders to Uddhava. So, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, break up all the connections and never see this world as you are seeing now. As we see this world, Uddhava is also looking at this world. But see, and don't see this world anymore separately from you. Which means, your own swarupam, your own identity in the spiritual platform, as spirit soul, it is that soul that is present in this creation. To that extent, Krishna wants him to rise up to that level. Which is not an easy thing. First of all, one has to realize oneself who we are. That also we don't have it. You have to realize yourself who you are, and then you have to see that the same realization is what is this whole creation is all about. So, in other words, Krishna is saying that without seeing that there is no difference between the world outside and the self inside, walk through this world freely. And first thing Krishna says to him, that problem is here is, the problem, why we have the problem? Problem is that there is so much dvandvam inside, duality inside, in all of us. So, what can we do when there is so much duality inside, dvandvam? And one who has gone a little bit higher in that, how he should carry on in this world, how he should work in this world. All these things, instructions are there in this chapter. Therefore, because of these various levels in which people are, different people are in a different states in this world, therefore, Varnashrama Dharmam was spoken, Guna Dosha Nirupanam, good and wrong, good and bad, those things were discussed before, pure and impure, Shuddhi and Ashuddhi, all these things Krishna has spoken before, in the previous chapters. Actually, as far as Uddhava is concerned, all those things are not anymore necessary. He has gone so far in that. He is not in the ordinary person's level. But at the same time, Uddhava has not reached the highest state either. He has gone very high in spiritual level, but he hasn't reached perfection. So this chapter will show how Krishna is saying to him that there is only one thing existing here, Atma. And such a way Krishna has put this chapter, no more discussing about other things, guna dosha nirupanam, or modes of nature, or other dualities. Nothing was, varnashrama dharmam, nothing is discussed except Atma, soul, nothing but the soul. So, those people, those like us, majority of the people are, who are caught up in this world with the dualities. Dualities means that you know what dvandvam. Dvandvam means that we have certain conceptions. It should be like this, it shouldn't be like that, about various things in Vyavaharam. And living in this world also we have different conceptions about right and wrong, good and bad, and various kinds of ideas and conceptions in our mind. We all have that while living in this world. Society should be like this, he shouldn't do this, he should do this. So many different dvandvam. These are all called dvandvam. So for those who have got dvandvam or duality inside, for them all other chapters so far spoken, various things Krishna has discussed, varna dharmam, ashrama dharmam, grahastha dharmam, brahmachari dharmam, all different kinds of things Krishna has spoken. Now finally Krishna is saying to Uddhava, if you couldn't do all, that's all not so important, because they, as far as that is concerned, that is for people who are in a beginning level or in the intermediary level. But a person like Uddhava who has reached a very higher level, there is no necessity now to worry about all those things. And these words, in this 28th chapter, Krishna is removing all the doubts in Uddhava's mind about it. All doubts. So, all the knowledge, what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has brought it up into a very summary form, and no more further doubts will come to Uddhava's mind. In such a way, Krishna is presenting to Uddhava. That is what this chapter is. It is such an important chapter in the Ekadasha Skandam that as far as knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam is concerned, whatever Krishna has to say, that is all there in this chapter. And therefore, very, very important chapter. And if one is fortunate, that if this chapter, if we are able to remove all our illusions, or all our so-called screens inside, which is actually preventing the realization, if our ignorance all is taken out, and this one chapter is sufficient, that is the opinion of the great devotees and jnanis, is sufficient to get released from this world. To that extent, this chapter is so perfect. Every single verse in this Bhagavatam, this particular chapter, only directed to one thing and one thing alone, Atma. Nothing else. And that is so strongly stressed here. Krishna is saying to us, in the lower level, you require all the rules, regulations, different kinds of understanding about how to conduct the life in this world. After all, Krishna is saying, when you leave this world, what is the record there for anything, what you have done here? So, to such an extent, so openly, the process of knowledge, without going into the tattvam, that is interesting thing. The process of knowledge is spoken so directly, without involving in the tattva nirupanam. All other chapters, Krishna, remember earlier, Krishna discussed about the various tattvams, prakriti, purusha, maya, and then ahankaram, mahatattvam, indriyas, and then mind, intelligence, ego, satya, rajasa, tamasa, ahankara, so many things, five material elements, then the five tanmatras, all these things, tattvam, tattvam, they have spoken about a lot of things. Without discussing any tattvam anymore, whatever Krishna has to say, to such an open way, he has spoken here, in this chapter. And whatever it may be, this chapter Krishna is saying here, and without involving in any other topics, directly presenting the truth. Directly presenting the truth. That is how this chapter is. And some devotees, they read this chapter every day. Because when you have contact with the truth, as the way Krishna has spoken, you feel that you are freeing, getting freed from the illusion. Because that is the truth. This chapter is the truth. And when you read this every day on a regular basis, many, many devotees, they know this whole chapter. Because all the words in this chapter is so pure with the knowledge, never touched by any illusion, any maya or any other flowery description. Everything straightforward, but to bring that into realization is the most difficult thing, of course. Anyway, well, let's try. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Parasvabhava Karmani Na Prashamsen Nagarhayet Vishwamegalpagam Pashyan Prakritya Purushena Cham Parasvabhava Karmani Na Prashamsen Nagarhayet Vishwamegalpagam Pashyan Prakritya Purushena Cham. So, first thing Krishna says, if you want to be situated in the platform of the soul, Atmanishta or Brahmanishta or Jnananishta, different names used in the Shastram, is this, that this world which is full of dualities and whom we are always in contact with. Yesterday we're talking about it, that what is that thing keeps us away from Krishna? This world, is it not? World is the shutter. It puts the shutter in such a way, an imaginary shutter, that our attention is always to the world, not towards Krishna. It is not going towards Krishna, it's always going towards the world. That itself shows that how strong that shutter is. Made us to think like that. So, so the normal situation is that we see this world, and then we glorify the world. So many nice things here, so many bad things here. So when you see something good here, you start saying, oh, it's such a nice thing, what's happening here. And we sing and we talk about it, and we think that it is fantastic. So many things we appreciate in this world. Krishna is saying, one who is situated in the platform of the soul, it doesn't suit him. That's what that first verse. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamse. Similarly, so many bad things we see here, we condemn that also. We criticize that. So many bad things in this world. Good things we appreciate, and the bad things we criticize. Krishna is saying, neither of them is good. Because to criticize someone and insult someone, that is sinful. That should be avoided. That should be avoided. That's, everybody accepts that. It's not nice to talk ill or criticize anyone else. But then you may ask the question, what's wrong in glorifying someone or appreciating somebody? Because that's most of the people's concept in this world. Isn't it? We all say like that. And people do think that everybody feels that they should be appreciated for what they do. So this concept is in our mind all the time. But Krishna is saying that is wrong. That is also wrong. Because the cause, reason for that, Krishna is going to talk about that in the next few verses. If you do like that, what's wrong? That question will come. People will ask that question, isn't it? Everywhere people will say, you should appreciate what he has done, or you should appreciate what she has done. In this way, appreciation is going on everywhere. So, this world, when it sees something good, when you see something good here, you want to say, oh, it's very good. And if you say something very bad here, you say, oh, it's very sad, what has happened. So, these two things, Krishna is saying, is the activity of the mind. That's the first thing. Activity of the mind. And you have to make the mind not to take up this process. Not allow the mind to continue with this business of appreciating and criticizing actions, what is going on. This is spoken from a very higher level. In Vyavaharam, we do all these things, isn't it? Appreciate somebody or criticizes somebody and so many things. But what Krishna is saying is, if you, to Uddhava particularly, at this stage in life, this is not your business. This is not what you should be doing. Keep on going on in this world with its formalities and all other manners and etiquettes and whatever that is going on here. So, that is why Krishna is saying here, the mind has to come to this stage now that it should not think anymore in those terms that this is good and this is bad. This is right or this is wrong. To that extent, mind should withdraw from the world. Mind should withdraw. That is why he is saying there, Vishwam ekalmagam pashyan pragritya purushena cha. Pragritya purushena cha. Because in reality, there is only one substance. All other things are created by the mind. Manakalpidam. Mind has created everything else in this world. Therefore, there is nothing to be glorified or nothing to be criticized here. This is the first verse what Krishna is trying to say. So, mainly because, of course, this is on a, you have to remember always, this is on a very higher level. Krishna is saying this. That the reason why you feel like appreciating someone, glorifying somebody, or criticizing someone, or finding fault somewhere, the reason for that is that you are feeling that yourself and the world are two separate things. Separately. World exists separately from you. And it doesn't exist like that. It doesn't exist that way. From there you can understand that in which level this is spoken. So, many times, great devotees, they're saying like this, that world is not telling us that I am here all the time, is it? The world is not telling us. But it is us who says you are there. We are recognizing the world. World is not recognizing and telling us, look, I'm here. Come to me, or talk to me, or deal with me. World is not saying, world is just existing there on its own. So, who gives the reality to the world? We. We give the reality to the world. So, and where is this awareness of the existence of the world? Is in me. Is it not? The existence of the world, the awareness of the existence of this world is in me. Not anywhere else. So, that awareness is waking up in me, that the world is existing. So, therefore, Shastram says, the object is not the truth. This vastu or object, world is not the truth. Instead, me, who knows that this is world is existing and that me is the truth. Or my awareness is the truth. World is not the truth. It's me in whom it is being, the awareness happens of the existence of the world. I am the truth, not the world is the truth. It's a long way for us to go from the world to Atma. It's a long journey. Continuously we have been living in this world for so many lifetimes, and thinking that this is a safe place to live and this is everything is this world, this is called Maya. Maya may convince us that the world is the reality. Now Krishna is telling us world is not the reality. Reality is the self, Atma inside. So to make that journey from this awareness of the world to the awareness of the self, it's a long journey. It's a very, very long journey. So, if you accept world is real and you are real, that means there is two. Krishna is saying there is no two things. There is only one. One thing existing. Therefore, the world is mithya. Brahmam satyam jagat mithya. Brahma satyam jagat mithya. So, the person who is seeing this world, who is experiencing this world, for him there is only one experience. What is that? His own existence. Is it not? That is the most important experience. Awareness within him that I am existing. Because I am existing, the world is existing. If I am not existing, where is the world existing? Where is the world? World is not there. So, who is seeing this world? The world is seen by me. And it is in me the world is existing. Therefore, actually, only the person who is seeing the world is the reality. World is not the reality. That is what that word. Vishwam ekalmagam pashyan. Vishwam ekalmagam pashyan. Prakritya purushayanacha. Prakritya purushayanacha. Prakriti is jadam. Prakriti is dead matter, isn't it? But the Purusha who is seeing this Prakriti. So, Krishna is going another step further than Sankhyam. In Sankhyam there is Purusha and there is Prakriti. Is it not? Purusha is the one who is seeing the Prakriti. Krishna is saying here, both these Purusha and the one who is seeing the Prakriti, both of them are not separate. They are one. The Purusha who is seeing the Prakriti and the Prakriti itself, they are not separate, they are one. So, therefore, if I am the only one who is present here, if I am the only one who is present in this whole creation, whom should I praise? Whom should I glorify? Whom should I criticize? Whom should I insult or offend? Or anyway, that is all not reality. That is what Krishna is pointing out. So, only when there is dvandvam, there is duality, that these two things, stuti and ninda, that means praise and or glorifying or criticizing, stuti and ninda, or offense or insult, exist. Only when there is duality. If you accept that there is two things in this existing, then you can talk about praise or insult. Praising or insult. And then there will be possibility of stuti and ninda. In order to have that stuti and ninda, there must be a topic for that. But here, only me exist. There is no other thing existing here. And that again, Krishna is stressing that point in the next verse. Paraswabhava karmani yaprashamsati nindati sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Paraswabhava karmani yaprashamsati nindati sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Yaparaswabhava karmani prashamsati nindati sa asati abhiniveshadaha swarthad ashubhrashyade. One who does this, if he start this business of praising others, or if you start the business of insulting others or criticizing others, then what will happen? And whoever does that, Krishna is saying, sa ashu brashyade swarthal asatyam. Because ashu brashyade swarthal, he has fallen from his swartham. Swartham, normally when you say swartham, it means selfishness. But in the spiritual language, that swartha means your self-interest. Self-interest is here. What is our self-interest? Self-interest is we want to be situated on the platform of the soul. Brahmanishta, Jnananishta, Alpanishta. In different ways it's called, but it's one and the same. That to be situated on the platform of the soul, not situated on the platform of the body. That is our swartham. That's what we want. That's our selfish interest. Self-interest. That will not happen. You will fall from that, Krishna is saying here. So, because of that, once you accept this duality, Krishna says, the mind has taken control. The mind has come to the control. And it will push you out from reaching the goal. It will push you out from reaching the goal. And he will never be able to reach the final destination. Why? Asatyam abhiniveshada. Krishna says. Asatyam abhiniveshada. Asat, he asatya means, we know satya asatya, that asatya which is not real, unreal thing, there abhiniveshada. Asatya means mithya, false. And in that dvaidam, you have got attachment, abhinivesham. Abhinivesha means that you have got asakti or excessive relationship with the world. Excessive relationship with the world. Not knowing the nature of the world, we have developed excessive attachment to the world. So, such people, what possibility they have to come to the platform of Atma. Platform of Atma. When you have completely influenced by duality of the world, it is not possible to reach the state of a dvaidam. Unless you are free from dvaidam itself. You have to leave that dvaidam from within. So, in order to come out of dvaidam, from duality, the first thing is that to give up this ninda and stuti, praising and insulting, praising and criticizing others, ninda and stuti. That ninda means offending or insulting or criticizing others, and stuti means glorifying others. That has to be given up. Now, is the dvaidam there? Only if the dvaidam is there, when it is there, only this has to be done. When the dvaidam is there, only then this stuti ninda is coming, isn't it? Because dvaidam is there. That is why we are doing the stuti and ninda. Stuti means praising someone. Ninda means criticizing or insulting others. So, first thing Krishna is saying that because you do not know that there is no dvaidam. There is no dvaidam, Krishna says. And because you do not know, in the next verse, Krishna is trying to establish that dvaidam doesn't exist. That is the next verse. You will see in the verse, third verse. It's an important verse. And it is, opens up a lot of other things as well. Taijase nidraya panne pindastho nashta chetanaha mayam prapnodi mrityam va tadvam nanarthadrik puman. Taijase nidraya panne pindastho nashta chetanaha mayam prapnodi mrityam va tadvam nanarthadrik puman. Taijase nidraya panne pindastha jiva mayam prapnodi nashta chetanaha nanarthadrik pumanabi tadvad vikshepam layam va prapnodi. Sridharacharya Swamiji's commentary on that. He is saying there, when senses, where did the senses come from? Rajasa hangaram, isn't it? Satya hangaram came the mind, Rajasa hangaram came the senses, Tamasa hangaram came the material elements and the tanmatras. They came from there. So, senses have come from Rajasa hangaram. And when you go into the sleep state, dream state, what happens there? Jiva develops the, Jiva makes the contact in the dream state with Maya in a different way. In vacant state, we have one relationship with Maya. That's our present existence. We have one relationship with Maya in the vacant state. In the dream state, we have another relationship with Maya. It is still Maya there. Maya projects so many things in our mind, and we go along with that. Whatever Maya has projected into our mind in the dream state. In the dream state. So, he mentions here that when that goes on for a while, from the vacant state, when you go into the dream state, the Maya creates another world and we live in that world for a while. And then after a while, when the mind also gets dissolved, when the mind gets dissolved, we become lifeless practically. And we go into the deep sleep state, very much like a non-existent state, death kind of situation. Death situation. Taijase nidraya vanni pindasto nashta chedana. Nashta chedana means no more consciousness at that time. Not experiencing. You don't even know your existence at that time in that deep sleep, is it not? from waking state to dream state to deep sleep when you are moving, you can look at yourself and see what's happening there. In the waking state, completely busy with Maya's this world, what Maya has put in front of us. In the dream state, this world is gone, and another world Maya presents, we get absorbed in that. In the deep sleep, mind also goes dissolved, so Maya does not play with the mind anymore, and there is a complete pindasto nashta chetana. Consciousness also goes away, and and we come to the state called the sushupti, deep sleep state, which is very much like a death state, not aware of anything at that time. And similarly, Krishna is saying that one who is very much in the dvaidam, too much absorbed in the dvaidam mode, he will go through in life, in the vacant state, through vichevam and layam, vichevam, layam. Vichevam means this vacant state where a lot of thought waves are coming, vichevam. Vichevam it's called. Vichevam means a lot of thought waves coming in. And then similarly there is layam. Layam means avaranam. Vichevam avaranam or vichevam layam it's called. Layam means everything dissolving and existing. Vacant state and sleep. Vacant state and sleep, it happens in that way. So, in the deep sleep state, because we have lost our mind and the body and the senses, everything, that our contact at that time is only is prajnyam. Remember that word? Prajnyam. Vishwam taijasam prajnyam. In the vacant state, Atma is addressed as Vishwam. In the dream state, he is addressed as taijasan. In the deep sleep state, he is called prajnyam. So, in the sushupti, when you have become prajnyam, you are prajnyam at that time. That means you have lost your practically consciousness. Prajnya is gone. You don't know anything. That's a state then. So, in that prajnyam state, what's happening there? Bhoga bhramsham. Bhoga bhramsham means you can't have sense gratification there. Is it not? Sense gratification is only possible in the vacant state and the dream state. But you lose all power of sense gratification when you go into contact with prajnyam. Prajnya. So in prajnyam, when you become the contact with the prajnyam in the sushupti state, deep sleep state, bhoga bhramsham comes. Bhoga bhramsham. Bhoga bhramsham means that you have lost your power or facility for sense gratification. You can't have it anymore in the deep sleep state. Krishna is saying here that similarly, just like you lost your bhogam, facility for sense enjoyment, bhogam bhramsham it is called. Similarly, when you have lost contact with Atma, and when you have made contact with anatma, which is not Atma, that means matter, the world, prakriti, and senses, sense objects, everything, if you make contact with that, you will lose your swarupam, swarupa bhramsham it is called. Your existence and awareness of the Atma, you will lose. This is the principle. Just like when you lost the contact with the in the sushupti state, due to associate, you become prajnyan and contact with the prajnya, that you have lost your bhoga bhramsham. Two things. One is called the bhoga bhramsham. Bhoga bhramsham means that you are losing that facility for sense enjoyment. And swarupa bhramsham means you are losing your self-realization. That is called swarupa bhramsham. When you lose your self-realization, it's called swarupa bhramsham. Bhramsham means that you lost it. You can't have it. Swarupam of your situation, identification with the self. Losing your identification with the self, that is called swarupa bhramsham. So, when you go into deep sleep state in sushupti, what's happening? You lose your bhoga bhramsham. Krishna's point is, just like you lose your bhoga bhramsham, facility for sense gratification in the deep sleep state, when you come to the vacant state and you are in contact with the non-self, which is matter, world, and sense enjoyment, all that is asata. When you come to contact with the asata, Krishna says, you have to lose your swarupa bhramsham. self-realized state. You have to use your self-realized state. You have to, that is how we are like this now. Due to bhogam, when you lose your bhoga brahmasham in the deep sleep state, you lose your self-realized state when you are in the vacant state, when you are in contact with the matter or non-self. This is the important thing what Krishna is saying in that verse. Taijase nidrayabhanne pindasto nashta chetanaha mayam prapnodi mrutyamba tadvan nanarthadrik puman. Nanarthadrik puman. Here you will notice one thing in this chapter. Everything Krishna is very, very much on to the point. No more talking about various other things. Purely spoken about the truth. That is why at the end of this chapter you will see this chapter is closed as the review of the absolute truth. Paramartha Tattva Nirupanam it is called. Absolute truth analysis of the absolute truth. There is no other other level it's spoken. Only spoken in the most perfect state it is spoken. The 100% perfect stage, that's what this chapter is. 100% perfect stage. Many other chapters, you will notice there that it is all meant for how to conduct your business in this world and how what rules and other things you have to take care of. Like Varnashrama Dharmam, for example, and Gunadosha Nirupanam. Many things Krishna has spoken. But when it comes to this chapter, straight to the point. No more mixing with anything else. Taijasam Nidrayabhanne Pindasto nashta chetanaha mayam prapnodi mrutyamba tadvan nanarthadrik puman. Nanarthadrika means one who is seeing so many things here. Krishna is saying there is not so many things here, there is only one thing. To come to that state, that is what he is saying here. So look at this way. In the deep sleep state for a person, this world doesn't exist, is there? World doesn't exist. So, from deep sleep state, you come back into the dream state again. Dream state. And in the dream state, you are experiencing the world a little bit. In a different way. Or otherwise, you can say, not the way in the vacant state you are seeing the world, but something similar to this, but in another form. You are in the dream state, a world that has been manufactured by the mind. And the Maya, Prakriti together, that is presented before us. And he is seeing that, but when he goes into the deep sleep state, he is still there. Who? Atma. He is still there. What's happening then? The world is gone. The world has gone, isn't it? He is still there. And when he wakes up, he sees the world. He sees the world. So, Jiva, when he is in the Sushupti state, or the deep sleep state, he is called Prajnan. That is the technical word for that. And that Prajnan is me. I am that Prajnan. So, in that Prajnan state, I am in that state that I am in a state of ego at that time. That ego is that I am sleeping. My ego at that time is I am sleeping. So, as far as he is concerned, all chances of sense gratification is gone. Sense gratification is lost. So, due to the presence of dvandvam or dualities in this world, only through duality you can enjoy senses. That also you have to take in. Because why is like that? Because when you are enjoying senses, you are thinking that this is nice, this is not nice. Who says that gulab jamun is better than khichdi? I am saying, my mind is saying that. If you ask gulab jamun or khichdi, which one of you are the best? They won't have any answer, would it? In my mind, I have made that decision. My mind and senses combined together made the decision, one is better than the other. Similarly, we say somebody is more beautiful than another person. Who made the decision? Those persons are not saying, I am saying that someone is more beautiful. So this is the dvandvam here. This is the dvandvam. So, so you can see, dvandvam creates the sense enjoyment. Only if you have dvandvam you can enjoy senses. Otherwise you can't enjoy senses, can you? Yeah. You can't enjoy senses if there is no dvandvam. Suppose you are seeing everything the same level, gulab jamun and khichdi the same level, then you won't say, I only want gulab jamun, I don't want khichdi. You won't say that, would you? So you can see that dvandvam in everything, if you look into this world, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad, this is better. We make that classification, belong, this is one I want, this one I don't want, this is bad because I don't like it, this I like. So this liking, disliking, business and all is purely due to dvandvam. Dvandvam is the cause behind it. So, but you can also imagine that once you have gone to the deep sleep state, because there is no dvandvam anymore in the deep sleep, therefore, at that stage, he cannot have that happiness anymore. He can't have that happiness from the dvandvam in the deep sleep state. He has lost all that, is it not? But as soon as he woke up from that deep sleep state, from Sushupti state, you see what happens? Whether it is in the wakened state or in the dream state, he is always with the duality. Him and dvandvam are together. Dvandvam and him are together in the wakened state and in the dream state. But when it goes to deep sleep state, see how what a big difference it makes in the deep sleep. When you move away from the wakened state and the dream state to deep sleep, what a huge difference it makes. You have lost all your power for sense gratification here, and you have come back to your pure state, practically to that state, Surubam, in the deep sleep state. But because there is a very strong curtain of tamogunam, that is why you are not getting it. So Krishna's point is, Bhoga Bhramsham and Surubha Bhramsham, two things. Bhoga Bhramsham comes in the deep sleep state. And Surubha Bhramsham happens in the wakened state and in the dream state. Try to remember these words as they are. Surubha Bhramsham, Bhoga Bhramsham. These are all words. Sridharacharya Swamiji himself uses this in his commentary. He is explaining it this way. He is saying that this is, think about this, he says, that Maya Prapnodi Mrityumva Tadvan Nanarthadruk Puman. So therefore he is saying that because of the Sangam, Sangam means relationship or attachment with Analpa Vastu. Analpa Vastu means what is not the self. Everything except the self is Analpa. We have two things, Atma and Analpa. Atma is the self. If you take the Atma away, everything else what remains is Analpa. So due to the contact with Analpa Vastu, along with our Ajnanam inside, two things are there now. Analpa Vastu is there and my Ajnanam is there, avidya or ignorance in me. When they are in contact together, therefore, Bhoga Sukham. I am experiencing that Bhoga Sukham. So, this Bhoga Sukham comes due to what? My connection with the Analpa Vastu, non-self, and the Ajnanam. Analpa Vastu, my Ajnanam has made contact with the Analpa Vastu, and therefore Bhoga Sukham. Bhoga Sukham has come. And Analpa Vastu, that contact with the Sangam, with the Analpa Vastu, that covers the Surubam. Covers the Alpa Surubam. It is covered. And it will not allow you to see or experience the Alma inside. Alma inside. For example, when the Vikshepam comes, better to use the same words. Vikshepam Avaranam. Vikshepam means thoughts. Thought waves. That's coming. When the Vikshepam comes, due to that Vikshepam, how we move away from Alma. Immediately, I lost my awareness who I am. I am immediately identifying with the thought, what comes in, isn't it? So, similarly,
even though in the deep sleep state, although everything is shut down, that prajñin who is in there at that stage, still he is not able to fully realize his identity in that deep sleep state. So why? Just like that prajñin covers that bogasukham. Bogasukham is taken away. But how he forgets that bogasukham? Bogasukham means that sense gratification. When we say sense gratification, do not think in the way that, all the sense enjoyment in that sense. Anything what you do with the senses is sense gratification. Seeing something, touching something, tasting something, hearing something. Five senses of knowledge. If these five senses of knowledge, whatever it does is gratification. Anything, it doesn't matter. It is sense gratification. So, just like that, how he forgets this bhogasukam, because senses are not there in the deep sleep state, he forgets everything. Similarly, when he wakes up, all the bhogasukam comes back. Happiness from the senses comes back. And that completely covers the atman sukham, or atma sarupam, or the self. It puts the shutter there. So therefore, this atma sarupam, or knowledge of the self, both in the deep sleep state and in the vacant state, it's covered. Knowledge of the self. In the vacant state, it's covered due to sense gratification, senses and the mind. And in the dream state, by the mind. In the vacant state, with the senses. In the dream state, with the mind. And in the deep sleep state, because of the tamogunam. Ajnanam is there inside me, and that is covering it up. I'm not getting it still. Although, I have left all the bhogasugam here. Bhogabhramsham has happened, but still I'm not getting that sarupam, still. So, both the bhogabhramsham and sarupabhramsham is still there in the deep sleep state. Although you are closer to sarupam, because you have come away from bhogam, bhogabhramsham. Therefore, you are closer to the sarupam, but because of the presence of ajnanam in me. That is why it is called karana shariram. Remember, all of our avidya is in that karana shariram. Karana shariram is the one in which you lie, karana ocean you lie in that deep sleep state. So therefore, you are still having the problem. Surubam you are still not getting. You lost all your sense gratification, but still you haven't got yourself what you are. You still haven't got it. So at the same time, the interesting thing is, when all this thing is happening, the vastu is still there. Atma is still there. So what Krishna is saying is, this bhoga sugham, Krishna is saying that this bhoga sukham, or whatever that is being experienced, vastu is present there in the deep sleep state. Vastu is present there in the deep sleep state. We have to get that back again. We have to get that back again. That is what all this is spoken in this chapter. How to get that vastu back, what we don't have it at the moment. Either in the vacant state, or in the dream state, or in the deep sleep state. Although, the problem in the vacant state and the dream state is this bhogam, sense enjoyment. You have given up that when you go to deep sleep state, but still you are not having it because of avidya inside or ajnanam inside, Krishna is saying here. Vastu is still there. So, this thing, this bhogasukham, or enjoyment of the senses, which is nothing but dvaidam. As I said before, how it is, sense enjoyment is, isn't it? Anything you take, for example, music, for example, you're hearing some music, and you're saying, oh, it's very nice music. When you say something is nice, something else is not nice. So there you have made the difference there. Dvaidam has come. Dvandvam has come. Similarly, any other sense gratification, seeing something, you see something is beautiful, that means something else is ugly. So, it is only relative, isn't it? One is beautiful than the other. And where is all this? It's in my mind. It's in my mind. So, in Sushupti, there is no dvaidam, there is no bhoga sukham, sense gratification either. When you wake up, there is dvaidam and there is bhoga sukham, both sense gratification as well as dvaidam, duality is there. And Atma has completely disappeared. Atma has completely disappeared. Therefore, is this dvaidam, if it is a truth, then you can glorify dvaidam. Or you can criticize dvaidam. But you can see from experience that itself is not the truth. Dvaidam itself is not the truth. And you can see that in experience, because when you wake up, it comes. When you go to sleep, it doesn't exist. All our sense, this dvaidam, is all in the vacant state only. Is it not? When you go into deep sleep state, there is no dvaidam. Where is the dvaidam? For example, if you say something, some music is nice, you are only saying that in your vacant state. When you go into deep sleep state, you are not saying that. Similarly about any prasadam, what you are eating, only you will talk about that in the vacant state. When you go into the deep sleep state, you won't make any comment about it. Similarly, any enjoyment, whether come through any of the five senses, is all only a reality you feel in the vacant state, but because it doesn't exist in the deep sleep state, it's not the truth. This is conclusion. This is the conclusion. So, therefore, Krishna is saying, because this is happening in the vacant state and in the dream state, and a different situation in the deep sleep state, for all these three states to exist, there must be a background behind this. Where is all this happening? That's the question. This vacant state and the dream state and the deep sleep state, where is it happening? That is what Krishna is asking there. For example, in the vacant state and in the dream state, we are seeing this world. And while we are seeing this world, me, I am in the form of a body who is seeing this world. And I see this like this way, there is a world outside me. That's how we will say about that. Because I am identifying with the body and I am acknowledging there is a world existing outside me. That's how I say that. So, both in the vacant state and in the dream state, it is like that. It exists outside. So, I am seeing this world after I am born. First I have to take birth, is it not? I have to come to existence. Then I am talking about the existence of the world. So I am born first and the world is born afterwards. So you can see this, when you come back from the deep sleep state, I am born first. And if you give close attention to that, that you can become aware of this, that this point, that it is me who is born and then the world is born. When you come back from the deep sleep state, isn't it? So, it's like from a deep sleep, when you wake up, he's not even sure who I am. I'm not even sure who I am, is it not? Some people get such a deep sleep that when they wake up, they don't even know who they are. It takes a while to come to this world. For many people, that is the experience. For some people, it takes a long time to come to some terms with this world. You are in such a deep sleep that somebody has come and woken you up. And you are saying to him that anything what somebody tells you at that moment, it won't go inside because you are still in the other world, in the deep sleep state. I'm sure all of some people, it varies from person to person to different degrees, but the fact is like that, that it takes a while to come to this world, from that world, from the state of deep sleep, isn't it? So, and then, at that very moment, when you come out from the deep sleep, you're not thinking, I'm living in England, or I'm an Indian, or I'm a man, or I'm a husband, or I'm a wife, or anything like that. All those thoughts come much later. There is a gap there. Initial identity is not there. There is no identity at that time. There's only an awareness that is existing. It all happens so fast
Is it not? If you precisely, if you get that point right from coming back from the deep sleep state, you can observe this. Even you don't know who you are. Now you are saying, I am an Indian, I am an Englishman, I am an American and all that. Now, after you are completely woken up into the vacant state. But as soon as you wake up from the deep sleep, you are not making any statement who you are. You have just woken up. And then, quietly, so many other things, vyavaharam comes in, family matters and all other things comes in. And quietly you slip into it, into this world. And then you start staying here, that I am such and such a person. And then you take your mobile and look who all have called you, or whatever. By now, you are already established who you are within. But prior to that, you don't know anything about you, who you are. There's only awareness there, but you don't know who it is. So, and then you are conscious that in such a place I am lying, sleeping. I'm sleeping in this room, and the awareness of the surroundings there, and then the world all around, all happens very like this, quickly, everything one after the other. The world around us, and then you're conscious of all your so-called relatives who is around you, family members, one after the other, it keeps coming up inside. So, from this you can understand, the first thing is you, that comes up first. I, my own identity is the first thing that wakes up when I get it. And it is from that this rest of the world has come back. Rest of the world has come. And all the thoughts surrounding this world. That is why Maharshi says this, that through the knowledge alone, knowledge is the one that creates the world. That creates this world. That means the mind. Mind is the one which is showing you the world, not the Atma. Mind is the one which is showing you the world. So then the mind and the world, they come started slowly rising inside. It starts rising inside. And when these two things, they wake up together. Together means very close. Mind and the world. Similarly, when you go back to deep sleep, the mind and the world goes back together. They come together and they disappear together. The mind and the world. So, two things, these two things, it appears together and disappears together. So, Maharshi is asking, in the Saddarshanam, you will see a verse there, that where is that vastu? Where these two things are happening. That's the most important thing. In whom this is happening, and that's what we are. You see? Unfortunately, we got so much mixed up with them, we never thought about all these things. We only thought about the mind, about the world, all along. We never thought, only when you see this deep sleep phenomenon, when you wake up from there, you notice this, that the world and the mind has woken up with that. And then they are also going back, going away every night. And then they come back in the morning again. In which background? That means if these things to happen, there must be what is called an adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means a basis where it is happening. Where is it happening? That is what we are. Where these things are happening, that's what we are. Not this thing, what is happening is not what we are. Where these things are happening, that is what we are. And that is what we have to touch. If you touch that, you will come out of the other two. When you don't touch this, you are in these two. Mind and the world. Mind and the world. This is knowledge. Krishna is saying that. Tejaise nidraya vanni. See, the same thing in this Saddarshanam. Ramana Maharshi puts it, completely the same chapter he has taken, and put it in the book, in his 40 verses, famous verses. Absolutely no difference between this Saddarshanam and this chapter. Exactly the same thing. He is saying there that the where did this Dhiya sahodedi dhiyastamedi logastado dhi pravibhashya mesha dhi loga janma kshaya dhama purnam sadvastu
Janmakshaya Shunyam Egam. He says that the world disappears, appears and disappears with the I thought, which is the root of all thoughts, and both the world and the mind, they coexist. They are said to coexist, to be inseparable. That means the world and the mind, you can't separate that. They coexist together. But but he says, dhiya sahodidi dhiyastamedi logastado dhi pravibhashya mesha. And dhi loga janma akshaya dhama purnam sadvastu janma akshaya shunya megam. That sadvastu inside, which is the truth, that has, is free from janma akshaya shunya megam. It does not have birth or death. Which one? That sadvastu. Mind and the world has birth and death. That sadvastu inside does not have any birth and death. So that is, this verse is exactly the Krishna's words in the Bhagavadam. In his own way he wrote it. His own realizations, he is projecting it. Because that is the state what he was absorbed in. So, he says here that thought represents a conscious principle and illuminates the world, object that is illuminated, as the world itself is stated to be mental in its form and is nothing but a gross form of thought which is subtle. If all the thoughts are withdrawn and traced to their origin and support, then one can perceive the truth that both thought and the world, subject and the object, inner and outer, appear and disappear together, are really of one existence and have a common source. So here, dhiya sahodedi dhiyastamedi logastatho dhi pravibhashyameva pravibhashyamesha dhi loga janma akshaya dhama purnam sadvastu janma akshaya shunyamekam shunyamekam. So this verse, which has come from there, that mind and the world, they are together. And where is that vastu, which is the basis, and where this is happening, which we are. And for that vastu, which means we, for us, there is no birth or death. There is no birth or death. And when all this mind and world is disappearing, that vastu remains as it is, without any change. And that vastu is self-illuminating. It does not require any external help. It can exist on its own. It is not that it is illuminating due to some other light, or its existence is not due to the help of anything else. Its very nature is awareness. Its very nature, because it's full of this particular quality, bodham. Awareness is its nature. And because it's there, you have come to know about the mind, you have come to know about the world, everything. But awareness is the key behind it. And that vastu, what is that? Know that vastu, what it is, and sit in there. Stay in that. That is what the next verse. Kim badram, kim abadram va, dvaidasya vastu nakiyam, vachodidam tadanardam, manasa dhyatameva va. Kim badram, kim abadram va, dvaidasya vastu nakiyam, vajodidam tadamardam manasa dhyatameva cha. So kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya vasana kiya vajodidam tadamardam manasa dhyatameva cha. So dvaidam, Krishna is saying, dvaidam itself is not the truth. It's not a truth. If it is like that, what is the point in saying this is nice and praising something and saying that something else is bad and insulting that? What meaning has it got? Is it not? That is the truth. There's no question about that. When dvaidam itself is wrong, because dvaidam exists due to what? Dvaidam is because of the duality in us. That we have decided this is good, this is bad. Who decided? The mind. Mind is saying this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. I like this, I don't like that. Mind is saying, which is called Dvaitam. So it's nothing but a game of the mind, and we get victimized by that. And when that Dvaitam itself is not the truth, because mind itself is not the truth. So therefore, what is the point in praising that or criticizing that? In praising and criticizing that. Krishna is asking, what is good here in this world? And Krishna is asking, what is bad here in this world? Kim badram, kim abadram va? Dvaidasya vastuna kiyat. What you have here is only dvaidam, he says. So, and there is no two things like that. Only if there is two things, only then you have to praise somebody or praise something, or you have to criticize someone or insult somebody. So, good, bad, that itself is dvaidam. And what is dvaidam? Vachoditam tad amrdam va manasadhyatame vacha. Manasadhyatame vacha. You are speaking with your words. This is good, this is bad. It's all just words only, isn't it? Only in the vyavaharam you say this, that somebody is. Is we say so many things. Everything, if you look into your own vyavaharam and see how you have made different statements. When you go to the shop and you buy something, you say, "Oh, this is good value for the money," and something else is not good value for the money. This is better quality. This is a poorer quality. Similarly, in vyavaharam is full of dvaidam. That you can't take it away. Vyavaharam, nothing but dvaidam. But, and all the dvaidam is mostly in the vyavaharam. Mostly in the vyavaharam. In the paramarthic level, in the absolute level, there is no dvaidam. Only in the vyavaharika dasha, vyavahara level, dvaidam exists. So, suppose you say, there is an earthen pot exist. And, yes, in the earthen pot exists in the vyavaharam stage. But if you look at that earthen pot, what is it made of? It's made of earth, isn't it? But in a particular name and form, you are accepting it as a earthen pot. Earthen pot. Strictly speaking, it's nothing but earth. It's nothing but the earth. So the truth is, pot doesn't exist, earth exists. Earth is what existing, not the pot. Earth was existing before. Therefore, when you say the pot is existing now, no, prior to that, earth was existing. So, therefore, we say, although earth was existing before, now we are saying the pot is existing. Isn't it? And this is called Vacharambhanam. Vacharambhanam. In the Upanishad, you will see this word. Vacharambhanam. Because with the words you have started giving it a existence to a new form. A new form. Earlier there was only mrityatyeva satyam. Mrityga means only mud. Earth was existing. That is the satyam, truth. But when it became a pot, vajarambhanam begins. Vajarambhanam means that you have started giving it a name and a form. Name and a form. Now for us, the form and the name is important. The pot we are thinking about, not about the material, what it's made of. What it has been made of. But all these things is all in the vyavahara dasha, vyavahara stage only. And in my mind, I developed this understanding that this pot exists made of earth. And I like the name and the form of that pot. But in reality, what is not there in the dream state? Say for example, what something is not existing, in dream state you feel it is existing, is it not? Sometimes. It's not existing for you in the waking state. Say for example, an elephant has come and the elephant is attacking you. But it's not happening in the waking state. But in the dream state it's happening. That means, in dream state, you are accepting the existence of that elephant. So, but in the vacant state, it's not existing. So, you can see the dvaidam now. In the vacant state, it is not there. In the dream state, it is there. So, you can say that, In reality, you will say it doesn't exist.
Why?
Because in the vacant state it's not there. Therefore, Dvaitam is not truth.
Dvaitam is not truth.
So, Dvaitam is not actually the truth because it is only a false impression what we have created in our mind. Never touched by, it can never touch Atma.
Which one?
Dvaitam. Dvaitam can never touch Atma. It is only can be in the mind. Dvaitam is always in the mind. It can never touch Atma. And it is, what is they call it as? Kalpidam. Kalpidam means it is something imagined in my experience level. I am imagining that, but it's not a reality. That's the point Krishna is making. Vachoditam tad anirdam manaso dhyatam evacha. Vajoditam. Through words I am explaining that. It is anirdam. It is a lie. It doesn't have any truth. Then, manaso dhyatam evacha. In my mind I have created that and I am saying it as the truth. But it is only truth in that level only. Not in relationship with the Atma. Atma vastu cannot accept dvaitam. Atma vastu cannot accept dvaitam. Only mind can accept dvaitam. Atma vastu cannot accept dvaitam because Atma vastu, self, is consciousness and it's one. It cannot accept dvaitam. Otherwise you'll have to keep breaking the consciousness into pieces. That is not possible. That is the point Krishna is saying here. So therefore, he says here, if it is like that. So after the first three verses, because dvaitam is a falsity, Krishna says that stuti and ninda, praising and criticizing, has no choice, is not justified. So the next six verses is talking about that. Why? That dvaitam is anithya. And therefore, it's not justified saying that. But if you ask the question, that all, including your own body, if it's a mithya, that's where the problem comes. Is it not? Suppose you tell someone, your body is a mithya. It's not real. And we are sitting in the body comfortably, thinking that I am this body. And somebody comes and tells you, Prabhu, your body is a mithya. I mean, the same thing when you tell others, Prabhu, you are not this body. I am sitting in the body and thinking I am this body. And I am telling somebody else who is sitting in his body, says the body is not real, you are not this body. That's why there is no effect when you say this to somebody, that you are not the body. Why there is no impact? Because the reason is, that person will say, look, I am feeling severe pain in my body and you are telling me I am not this body. But I am feeling the pain. How can you say that I am not this body? So that means you can't say this to him anymore. So Krishna's point is that why this fear is coming to us. Krishna is telling us we are not this body. It's Krishna who has started all this problem. Telling us that you are not the body. And Krishna established this in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavad. With both Arjuna and Uddhava, you are not this body. And we are struggling here, sitting here in our body, when Krishna is telling you, you are not the body. So, he is saying here, how this misunderstanding has come to us. How this misunderstanding has come to us. And how you are finding it difficult to break up from that. And unless this understanding changes, it is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We can keep saying, see, that is why you will see this. Because it is such a difficult thing to come to know that I am not this body. The bhakti process, what we do, we say to Krishna, we don't know anything. One day you take me and prove to me that I am not this body. Once you get once that experience, somehow, then you know that you are not the body. But you have to get it once, isn't it? At least once, Krishna gives you an experience that you are not this body. Till that time, all this saying, it goes on like this. All examples, all explanations won't get you there. You are still, as soon as you leave the room or some thoughts comes about the body, then you're gone away, back to the body again. And then even hours and hours of this 28th chapter reading won't make any sense. You will still be in the body. So to such an extent you are established in the body, you have to remember that. So strongly established in the body that no matter how much we talk about it, it would not go away. So therefore, only option we have is to say to Krishna that at least once give us that experience. Because if you have a direct experience like that, you are not this body. You are not this body. If you have a direct experience like that, then you know that you are not the body. That is why Krishna said in the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter. Remember? Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha. Remember that verse? Why, at least before death, at least once you should experience that, that you are not the body. Then you have crossed a big hurdle. Why? Because once you have got that experience, it has to be experience only, not theoretical anymore. In experience level, you have to get it once. If you have got it, then no matter who tells you anything about the body, you won't go back to the body again. You may still get affected by the bodily problems, but at least in your core of your heart, you know that you are not the body. But now you are not getting it. Why? Because that one experience, Yasham Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam, what does it say? Yasham Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati Stitvasyam Andakalepi Brahma Nirvana Mrachyati. Krishna concludes the second chapter with that verse, isn't it? Same thing here also. Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha. The Brahmi Sthiti. I am Brahma. That's it. I'm not the body. Partha. Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati. This is a moham it is. Vimukhyati. You get freed from this illusion that I am this body. Stitvasyam Andagalepi. Even at least before the death, if you get established in that once, Brahma Nirvana Mrachyati. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered, Krishna is saying. Bewildered. No bewilderment after that. Now we have bewilderment. Why? I am still not sure, am I this body or am I a spirit soul? That is the bewilderment at the moment. Am I this body or am I spirit soul? This is called the bewilderment. But this bewilderment will go once you get that experience of the self, who you are. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, doesn't matter when, any time, one can enter into the kingdom of God, then his spiritual life, he will go further. He won't get stuck anymore. So that one time experience is what we are asking from Krishna's side to give it to us. When you get that, then there will be no problem after that. And that is what bhakti is all about, to give that experience once at least. So, here, Krishna is logically putting these things to us. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asando pyarthakarina evam dehadayo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. Chaya pratyahvayo pratyahvaya bhasa asando pyarthakarina evam dehadayo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asando pyarthakarina evam dehadayo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. So first thing Krishna is saying, to think that this body exists, that this body exists, is a mithya. Is a mithya. False thing in your own mind that this is existing. It is existing. Then, how is this fear coming? Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asandopyartha karina evam dehadayo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. Where is the fear coming from then? Why is the fear coming to us? What is the fear? Fear
is that, will this body die one day? Will I lose this body one day? That's a fear all of us have, is it not? Today we are okay, we are running around like this. But one day, it will go. And that fear all of us have inside. So we also have the fear, will I get sick? Even there's a slight disturbance in this body, immediately you take notice of that. I'm not feeling very well today. There's some problem in the stomach, or there's some problem in the head, some problem in the mind. Somewhere some problem, somewhere in some part of the body, there's some problem. So, some fear in relationship with the body comes at that moment. Some fear in relationship with the body comes in. Because if it is not there, we won't have the fear, isn't it? We won't have the fear. ಛಾಯ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಹ್ವಯಾಭಾಸಾ ಅಸಂದೋಪ್ಯರ್ಥಕಾರಿಣಾಃ ಏವಂ ದೇಹಾದಯೋ ಭಾವ ಯಚ್ಛಂದ್ಯಾ ಮೃತ್ಯುದೋ ಭಯಂ. ಸೊ ಬಾಡಿ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಈಸ್ ಯು ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇ ಯು ಆರ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್. ವೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಫಿಯರ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್? ಫಿಯರ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ವಿಲ್ ಡೈ ಒನ್ ಡೇ. I'm going to lose this body. Or other fear on a daily basis, will any illness come? Sickness will come to this body. So something related to the body is always in our back of the mind. That fear is existing, isn't it? Because if it's not there, the fear should not be there. The fear won't be there. So Krishna is saying here that body is not real. Body doesn't exist. Krishna is saying this. But for us, body exists. That it's existing. So that is what that word means. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asandopyartha karyana. Means, this body, Krishna is saying here, is a reflection. There is bimbam inside that is called pradibimbam. Pradibimbam means reflection. It's like you have sun in the sky, sun is reflecting in the water, you see the sun in the water. It's a reflection of that. So, Krishna's point is, body is a reflection of the Atma. Atma's reflection, that is. Atma is the truth, reflection is not the truth. Comparing, giving this example, that means, sun is the truth in the sky. Reflection of the sun in the water is not the truth. Similarly, Atma, consciousness, is the truth. But body is a reflection of that Atma in our vasanas. Karana Shariram, Sushma Shariram, Stula Shariram. All three are reflections of that in us. Reflections of that. And that is only a imaginary thing. It's an imaginary thing. Because, for example, Pradidhvani. Pradidhvani means the sound is there, and there is a sound somewhere. It echoes here, is it not? It comes and echoes here. In reality, I'm not making any sound here, but the sound from somewhere else comes and echoes here. It makes an echo here. So, when the echo happens, I take it that there is a sound here. But it's an echo of some sound somebody has made somewhere else. When it comes and echoes, you feel that. So it's just like when you walk through the tunnel, sometimes you'll see a loud noise coming, some vehicle passing through the tunnel, but all through the tunnel you'll experience a completely different, because it's encircled by the tunnel. So therefore you are experiencing it there. Similarly, Krishna is saying that is called in Sanskrit, the word, the technical word is abhasam. Abhasam, that abhasam means that, have you heard this word abhasam? Abhasam means that it is not the real. It's a reflection-like thing. It's an abhasam. Like we say rasabhasam. Rasabhasam we say. What does rasabhasam mean? Rasabhasam means, so many times you will see devotees saying this, rasabhasam. Rasabhasam. It's not real rasa, but it is an abhasam. That is the right word, abhasam. Abhasam means that it's something that you are falsely accepting it as the truth. Accepting as the rasam. So, just like they give the example that asandopyartha karyana, in a similar, just like the rope is lying there, and I have accepted that the snake is there in the rope. There is snake in the rope. I have accepted that. There is no snake there. Even when I am taking that there is a snake lying there is no snake there, still there is only rope. Still there is only rope there. But in me, the effect of the snake is there. Is it not? There is no snake there. There's only rope lying there. But if I have seen it in the dark, I have misunderstood that there is a snake there. Nothing has changed. This rope is still lying there. But it has created the effect in me. What? That there is a snake there. I got frightened. I'm looking for a torch. I'm looking for a stick to beat the snake. So, this is the thing what Krishna is saying here. That even though there is no snake there, the rope has managed to create a feeling inside that the snake is there, isn't it? And therefore, in our pure identity of Atma, or the Self, Maya is creating this feeling in us that the body is existing. I know it is very, very higher level, Krishna's words are. This journey is not a short journey, it's a very, very long journey to come to this state. Only those who have reached that state and who have confirmed that is why we are able to accept it. Because there are people who have reached that state. It's not that Krishna has spoken something and gone. No, after Krishna has spoken, many, many great personalities in this life, in this world, have shown to us it is the truth. That is the truth. There is no other truth. This is the only truth. Maya has succeeded in convincing us that, like the rope has done about the snake, Maya has succeeded in convincing us that the body exists. And we are trapped in that. Now can you say you are not in the Maya? People are saying to Prabhupada also, Prabhupada, I was in Maya for a while, he says. Prabhupada said, what are you talking about? Says to him, this is how deep it is, the whole problem. Problem, Maya has convinced us that we are this body. Is it not? Instead of this reflection, like the snake and the rope, exact example. Snake and the rope. And that is why Shugam Brahmarshi brought it back again to Parikshit at the last moment. Is it not? In the 12th 5, you read that? There again he brought the same issue back. First we have to recognize the problem, how deep the problem is, before we're talking about the solution. So Krishna is saying here that this feeling that you are getting, that I am this body, even though I am not the body, but Maya has convinced me that I am this body. And what is that Maya? Maya is nothing but the mind inside. So, in our experience level, it is the mind. Because that's where I'm experiencing I'm this body, isn't it? In the mental level. So, one person asked Maharshi this question, that what is the nature of this mind? What is the nature of this mind? Maharshi answered like this, that nobody can define this mind. He says like that,
It is a power, unusual power, that has developed in Atma. It has developed in Atma. And you can never define it. Anirvachaniyam, he says there. Anirvachaniyam. It cannot be defined what this is. And that mind, what it does is, it builds up all kinds of imagination, all kinds of conceptions about various things. And therefore, the mind, the very nature of that mind, Maharshi said, is just thought waves. Thinking all the time. So, except in that imagination only, this world also existing. This world is also existing in that imagination only, of the mind. In the deep sleep state, there is no mind, there is no world, and there is no thought waves either. Is it not? So, in the awakened state, thought waves are there, the world is there, everything is there. So, wherever there is mind, there the world is there and the thoughts are there. In the Jagrat and Swapnam stages, mind is there. Therefore, these things, the world is there. In Sushupti state, mind is not there. Therefore, thought waves are not there. The world is not there. World is not there. They give the example that Krishna also gives the same example that see this spider. If you look at the spider, you will see he was there somewhere in the evening on a door or on a wall somewhere. In the morning when you come out, you see, look, he's still there. But now, by now, he has built his whole web very well. How everything very organized, structured, with all its different, what do they call it, the like a house, he has built it, the roof, the rafters, and the creepers, everything around it. And where did that material come from? From himself, it has come. It has come from him. He had all that material packed inside, and he was able to release it in the form of that very fine thread with which he has created this whole net around him. Similarly, Krishna says, that mind is that network that you create, which comes like that thread from the self, from Atma. So mind creates this world. Mind creates this world. When the mind comes out of the self, only then the world comes to existence. When the mind comes out, wakes up from the self and comes out, and then it creates the world in front of us, exactly like the. Therefore, that's why he is called Urnanabhi. The name for spider is Urnanabhi. Urnanabhi means, if you remember, in the 24 spiritual masters, Dattatreya Maharshi calls Urnanabhi. Is it not? He is one of the 24 spiritual masters. He says, what I learned from him, from this Urnanabhi. So, Urnanabhi. So, when there is this Brahman about this world, about the reality of this world, when I'm stuck in that, accepted this world as real, that's called Jagal Brahman. If the Jagal Brahman is there, Swarupa Darshanam won't be there. Swarupam, you can never get it. You won't understand what Swarupam means. Who I am, that experience you can never have when you know this world is existing. World is existing. So, when Swarupam is there, Jagat is not there. That Krishna has spoken in the previous verses. Is it not? Yeah. So, when Swarupam is there, Jagat is not there. When Jagat is there, Jagat means world. When Jagat is there, Swarupam is not there. Swarupam is not there. These two things cannot exist together. Which one? The world and Swarupam. Swarupam and the world cannot exist together. Just like the same example. If you started thinking it is the rope, then there is no more snake. And if you think it is the snake, then there is no rope. Snake and the rope cannot exist together. Same way. Snake and the rope cannot exist together. So, the moment you have started thinking it is the snake, the rope has gone. So if you keep on thinking about the mind as yourself, the mind will become you. Isn't it? If I keep on a mental platform, as they say, if you are, we preach like this, we say to people, oh, Prabhu, don't be on the mental platform. We say to others. But we also don't know what mental platform means. When preaching is all very easy. But only when it comes to realization, it makes it a bit difficult. So, Krishna is saying here that if you keep on thinking you are the mind, you will become the mind. And instead, if you use the mind for reflection further, the mind will disappear one day, because mind is not a real thing. Speaking from the platform of the soul, mind is not a real thing. Atma is a real thing. Mind is not the real thing. But instead, I have gone into become the mind, and I am analyzing from the mind everything else. So therefore, mind is a reality for me. But the moment I accept the mind is not a real thing, and the mind goes away, and if I completely reject the mind, instead of in that place, Atma will come back to that state. Atma on its own will come back there. So actually, this is why they say it is the mind that has created the body. Remember this? We say, in the Shastra, before we have spoken this also, that body has come from the mind. Mind didn't come from the body. Normally when people say like this, I got my body and there's a mind inside me. And it is true, but that mind is the source of this body. Mind is the source of this body. So in reality, only mind exists. Mind exists. Body doesn't exist. That is the first realization. Only mind exists. Body doesn't exist. Because mind is the one which created this body. So, therefore he says, evam dehadayo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. See, evam dehadayo bhava dehadayo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. Deham or shariram is also a mithya. Although it is a mithya, adhyasam is still there. Adhyasam means that identification is still there, and therefore it's causing problem. Body is giving me problem. This is the principle. That chaya pratyahvaya bhasam asando pyarthagarina evam dehadeyo bhava yachandya mrityado bhayam. And therefore fear you are experiencing. You are experiencing the fear. Because so long as that mind is there, mind will confirm that the body is existing. Body is existing. And as long as the body is existing, if you have that conviction in the mind that the body is existing, you will have all the fear, what we spoke about, that disease is coming, death is coming, all this kind of fear. And what is the way out from this? Krishna says that there is only one way. Go back to Atma. By reflection, analysis, everything, go back to Atma again. There is no other way. That is what he is saying in that. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asandopi arthagarina evam dehadeyo bhavam yachandya mrityudo bhayam. Chandya mrityudo bhayam. So then, after that, in the next verse, if you look into creation talks about dvaidam. Creation talks about dvaidam. Remember? Creation is dvaidam. We saying Brahma has created this in sequence, and finally he has created this human body which is suitable for self-realization. Then we say Krishna has appeared, different incarnations have come. All this is dvaidam. Is it not? And then we say various incarnations. I like this incarnation as Krishna or Ramachandra or Narasimha Murthy. I don't like that incarnation as tortoise or fish. There also dvaidam. So dvaidam is there in all levels. Similarly, as soon as you say Brahma has created this, whole creation has come from Brahma, That means you are accepting Dvaitam. You accept because Brahma was there, then he created something and the world has come. So, Srishti we are talking about. So, the next question is, how can you say that there is no creation then? There is no Dvaitam. Is that not statement contradicting that? That is the question. Krishna is answering that question in the next verse. You see, you can see in the spiritual life, in certain times in spiritual life, certain statements you have to accept. When you go further, then you will know that at that level only that particular statement was valid. At a certain stage, you can throw away certain realizations. But at that stage, when you are at that stage, you have to accept that realizations for your going to the next step. This is how spiritual life is. It's not that one rule is given. People like rules, regulations, and they want to hold on to that throughout, isn't it? That's our nature, is like that. Somebody comes and tells me, Prabhu, you chant 16 rounds every day, 4 regulative principles. Don't worry about anything else in this world. Just do that, everything will be alright. You go back home, go back to Godhead. I'm more happy to take that instruction. Why? Because then I don't have to worry about thinking about all this Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything. Why bother? Very everything condensed, summarized, form A to Z, whatever way you want to call it, it's there in that. And then what will I do? I'll tell everybody else the same thing. This is all what you need. You don't need all the other things. It's all a waste of time. You'll say, oh, it's all mental speculation. It's all concoction and all kinds of things. You'll condemn everybody else except these things. That's all is bona fide for you. So, that is the way the mind is. Mind likes it that way. But Krishna's point is that Dvaitam is there at a particular stage. You can't write off Dvaitam like that. At the time when you are in that state, Dvaitam is the reality for you. When you come to this Advaitam state, Dvaitam disappears and you can't accept Dvaitam anymore. At that time you will know that Dvaitam was not acceptable. Dvaitam is not the truth. But as long as you are in the Dvaitam stage, Dvaitam is the truth, not Advaitam. Dvaitam is the truth. But till you come to the Advaita stage, you can't throw away Dvaitam. That's the point Krishna is making. But Krishna is saying here, for this specific question, that if creation has come from Brahma, what will you say about creation then? Almaiva tadidam vishwam srajyade srajyadi prabhu trayade tradi vishwalpa priyade haradishwara. That's the answer. Almaiva tadidam vishwam srajyade srajyadi prabhu trayade tradi vishwalpa priyade haradishwara. That is the answer to that. Here, Krishna is saying here that who says something has been created? Only that exists is Atma here. Nothing else is existing here. Atmaiva tadidam vishwam. Atma is this vishwam. Vishwam is also not separate from Atma. Vishwam is also this. You know, when you come to this stage, you can see that Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara concept gone there. Remember, in all other religious processes, they talk about Jiva, me here, the world there, and the God there. Three, like a triangle. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. That concept is gone here now. Krishna is not accepting that. Krishna, that in that level, to begin with, you need that concept. Because you have a Jiva, you are accepting you are a Jiva, and then there is a Jagat, world, and then there is Ishvara, God, up there, somewhere, wherever it is. And you are asking Him to help for your life in this Jagat, peaceful existence here. And then you are saying that after the death, I will go there and all my family members will join there and we'll all have a great time, the party. We have a party here and we have a party there as well. Krishna is saying here, there is no question of any party. He says, you're not going anywhere because there is nowhere to go. Because you are not, where else to go? Because Almaiva tadidam vishwam. He says, whole creation is nothing but Atma. Then he says here, srijyade, srijyadi prabhu. That Krishna gives you this experience that I have created something and I am destroying it tomorrow. Remember, earlier we talked about പ്രളയം, ഡിവസ്റ്റേഷൻ ഇൻ ഫോർ ലെവൽസ്, നിത്യം, നൈമിത്തികം, പ്രാകൃതം, ആത്യന്തികം. That Atyantika Pralayam is this, what Krishna is talking about, where you understand that there is no creation, where is no devastation. Perfect stage, that is what it is. And Trayade Tradi Vishwalma, and the person who has created this, he protects that and he himself destroys it. Trayade Tradi Vishwalma Hriyade Harati Ishwara. And he creates it, he protects it. And the same Atma who has created this, he destroys it. And you see that word, Kriyate Harati Ishwara. He himself gets destroyed and he destroys it. Trayate Harati Ishwara. So, who manifestation of the world, Krishna is saying to us, then it is also another form of Atma. Atma is another manifestation. And because it has come in the form of Atma, we say Krishna has been created in the form of world. Krishna has been created in the form of the world. And this form of Krishna, which is this world, which has been created, that form gets destroyed. At that time we say the person who has created this world has been destroyed. But everything is happening in Atma. Atma is the only truth in everything. That is that verse is talking about. Atmaiva tadidam vishwam srijyade srijati prabhu trayade tradi vishwalma hriyade harati ishwaraham. Kriyane Haradeshwara. So, think about it. The vastu that is creating this world gets destroyed. What does that mean? World is created by the mind. When the mind gets destroyed, the world gets destroyed. Both gets destroyed at the same time. Isn't it? And who protects the world? The mind. Mind keeps the world going. Mind gives the reality to the world, is it not? So only when the mind is protecting the world can survive. If the mind is not giving any reality to the world, this world cannot exist. It can't, can it? So that is why it says, Trayade Haradishwara. That what is creating this world, he himself gone. And who has created this world, he also gets destroyed. Mind has created this world and mind gets destroyed eventually along with the world. Similarly, who created the world? The mind. Mind has created the world. So, so if that happens, then the fear that the body is going to die or body is going to get sick, all this fear will go. That is the point Krishna is making there. Because the one who is creating this world, one who is maintaining this world, one who is destroying this world, all of them have gone. Practically, what it is saying is that when the mind gets destroyed, you will know that only Atma, I am that Atma, and that is the only vastu, reality. Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam. And that is how you come out of the three miseries of material life, by realizing this. The three miseries are there, adhyalpam, adi bhautikam, adi devikam, is it not? And when we study first time those three miseries of material life, we think every time when a misery comes in life, we look which one, Prabhu, is it adhyalpamik or adi bhautik or adi devik? We ask the question. Because if it is adi bhautik, we can't do anything about it, forget it. Adidevik, we can do something. Adhyalmik, that's a serious problem. So like this, we think about it that way. What Krishna is saying here is that this Adhyalmikam, Adibaudhikam, Adidevikam, all of them are not real. They are all false. Why? They have come from the world in different forms, isn't it? So so world itself is not real. So where is the question of Adhyalmikam, Adibaudhikam, Adidevikam real? That's one. Secondly, the birth of the world is with the birth of the mind. Mind and the world were born together. And it is in the mind this world is existing. And when the mind dies, the world also dies. The one who has created the world, he also dies. So when the mind completely disappears, creation disappears, dissolution disappears, world disappears, and you are situated on your pure state, who you are, which is Atma. Atmaiva tadidam vishvam srijyate srijati prabhu. It's the Upanishad verse. Atmaiva tadidam vishvam srijyate srijati prabhu. Trayade tradi vishvatma. Hriyade harati ishvara. So that verse Krishna has brought in and put in there to confirm that statement. So, one thing is, so with the destruction of the world, when the world gets destroyed, along with that, the person who is seeing the world has also gone. So, and along with that, creating this world, maintaining this world, and destroying this world, all that is gone. So, with the destruction of the world, the person who is seeing the world has gone. Along with that, the person who is maintaining this world, who created this world, and who is maintaining this world, and who destroys this world, all of them has also gone along with that. So, and the person who is doing that work of creation, he is also gone. So, Krishna says here, along with this, what will happen now? The person from whom, who is existing? Atma. Atma is the only thing what is finally existing. He is a sakshi. He is a witness to everything what is happening here. And that sakshi vastu will be there. And that's the only vastu. Sakshi vastu. Because all these things of creation, maintenance, destruction, is all happening in that vastu, Atma. So he is a sakshi at that time. And you can see this in the deep sleep state very clearly. In the deep sleep state, you are not seeing the world. So, I have heard in the vacant state that Brahma has created this world. In the vacant state, I have heard that Brahma has created this world. And I also know that Vishnu protects this world, maintains this world in the vacant state. In the vacant state. But in the deep sleep state, I don't know who created the world. Has Brahma created the world in the deep sleep state? Or is Vishnu maintaining this world in the deep sleep state? And similarly, we say, Lord Shiva destroys this world in the vacant state. But when you go into the deep sleep state, is Lord Shiva destroying the world? No, none of them exist at that time. So even these three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, they are also not present in the deep sleep. They are also gone. But still, I am existing. The Trimurtis have gone, but I am still existing. Because I am not denying my existence, because I am 100% sure that in the morning I am back. If I have to be back in the morning after going to sleep at night, that means that I must be existing in that deep sleep state. In the deep sleep state. I am not able to think that I was not existing because awareness is still there in the deep sleep state also. So nobody is saying that I was not existing and I slept very well. When I wake up I mentioned this. So if I say that I am existing, it means that that person who experienced that happiness in that state was there, in the deep sleep state. And there is no doubt about that, is it not? Because when I wake up, I'm saying that I had a good time in the deep sleep. If I had to make that statement, I must have been there in the deep sleep. Otherwise, how could I make that statement that I had a good sleep or I was enjoying that deep sleep? So, but Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, I can only guarantee that in the vacant state they are there. But in the deep sleep state they are there or not, it's very difficult because I didn't know Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva then. Here at least from the books and from others I hear that Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the maintainer, Shiva is the destroyer. So in that vastu, in the deep sleep state, unable to explain that what it is, purely in the form of an experience, he is present inside us, and that is Krishna's manifestation. That awareness, what you have experienced in the deep sleep, that you are existing then. So, more important than Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva is this awareness, that you are able to confirm that even in the deep sleep state, I was existing. Because that awareness is the only one thing which never leaves us. And that is me. That is my real identity. That awareness in the deep sleep state, what I have experienced, irrespective of the fact that all other things what I have accepted in the vacant state or even in the dream state, I am losing them in the deep sleep. Instead, this one awareness of my own identity as the self, as Atma, is still with me even in the deep sleep state. So, for me, what is real? Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva is real, or this awareness is more real? Awareness is more real. If you compare both, the awareness is more real to me now. Because that is the only thing where I am holding on to. That is not leaving me. Suppose that awareness is gone. Where is Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva? Where are they then? So even from that point of view, Krishna is saying here that this experience inside, that is the most important thing. That is the most important thing. So, and now, right now, that awareness, this is not the false ego I'm talking about. Not the false ego in the form of ego inside me. That is not what Krishna is saying here. And even that false ego is dependent on that awareness. On that awareness. For example, in the false ego I'm thinking, I'm this person, I have so many designations, and I can only think like that. I can't think anything separate from that in my false ego state. And I do not have the strength to think in terms of independent of the body. Independent of the body. We don't have the strength for that. So, when I am in conjunction with the body, I am thinking about anything. That's all false ego. In conjunction with the body, say for example, I am thinking that I am the son of such and such a person, and I have born in such a particular place, and this is my name given to me, and this is my job, and these people are my people, they are my relations. And everything in relationship with the personality, it is in that state I am at the moment, is it not? Because you can see my existence is centered around all these different identities. And my ego is the one which identifies with all these different different designations. So this identity, combined with all these designations, is the false ego. Atma inside, he has no relationship with any of these things. That is why Krishna is stressing this point, that when you keep inquiring that who is this I then, you will see that with your proper analysis, that when you come to accept that all these things are not real, asat it is, isn't it? Everything is asat, including that false ego, which whom you are identifying now, and which is identifying with its extensions and with all other designations, which are all unreal, and this false ego is also unreal. Unreal. The only real thing in all this thing is that Krishna is saying here, Atma. Atma eva tadidam vishwam srijyade srijyadi prabhu trayade tradi vishwalma kriyate haradishwaraham. That verse is so specific about it. Atma eva tadidam vishwam srijyade srijyadi prabhu trayade tradi vishwalma kriyate haradishwaraham. That on a highest level, when you think, none of them is truth. Which one? Body is not truth. Mind is not truth. Ego is not the truth. Designations are not the truth. Extensions are not the truth.
What is the truth then? Atma.
Atma eva tadidam vishu. Because it's from Atma, all these things have come. All these things have come.
Imagine this very, very fundamental and basic principle is not accepted by the science. And these big scientists, they are talking about big, big things. If this one verse, rishis have spoken this truth, and if you can't accept this, what is the use of any other knowledge? Imagine that Krishna is so categorical about it. For to talk about Krishna, way before Krishna's appearance in this world, rishis have spoken this. And all the great personalities, Ramachandra, Krishna, Narasimha Murthy, and all others appeared in this world on this principle. Atmaiva Tadidam Vishwam. And all the other great personalities who come after that, after their time, they also followed the same knowledge. And this knowledge never changed. Millions of years ago, when the rishis developed this, develop means when they revealed this knowledge to this world through Upanishads, what they vouched for this truth, that truth remains even today as it is, unaffected and untouched by any other impurities. And that alone is the truth, and that will remain as the truth forever. It will not change. In this whole life, whole time span, if you look back, this is the only truth that survived in this creation. No other truth can survive here. This truth, you can never change it. You cannot break it. You cannot tomorrow bring another theory and say this is false. Atmaiva tadidam vishwam srijyate srijyati prabhu trayate tradi vishwalpam kriyate haratishwaraham. What an amazing statement that is. It is on this principle whole Vedic philosophy survived in this world. If this wasn't there, if it was based on the Jiva Jagat Ishvara, it won't live. That means that will only lead into fighting with others. I will say, my own, based on where I am born, I will identify with that. And my conception of a spiritual world will be in one way. That is the Jagat or the world, what I consider. And my God also, I will take it in a way whom I like. So my God, my world and me will be different than your God and your world and your identity. Whereas this world, verse is saying to us, there is no question of differences anywhere. It brings the whole creation into one nutshell in this verse. Atmaiva tadidam vishwam srijyate srijyati prabhu trayade tradi vishwa alma kriyade harati ishvaraha. Then Krishna's emphasis on that alma, emphasizing the alma's existence. What use is there going on researching with the matter, never coming to any end? Rishis have experimented all these things. That is why they are able to put this so strongly in front of us. They have experimented all this. They know that the matter has no meaning. Matter is nothing but a transformed stage of the Atma. Atma in one particular form is matter. But Atma is the key. Atma is the source of everything. Atma is, and to bring that, and instead of researching into that direction, we picked up this matter and are busy with the research on this matter, whole life wasted, gone. And that is what called avidya. That's what's called avidya. Rishis have taken so much pain to give us this one. How strong they have to be spiritually to make this statement. Imagine that. How strong they have to be in the spiritual platform. How deep their realization has to be to make this statement. Such a categorically that say that this is it, there's nothing else. You can't say that easily. In matter, material life, that's what we find. Today we make a statement. Tomorrow, I'm not sure whether I have what I've spoken is truth or not. But Rishi's statement, which has been in existing, even Ramachandra appeared, even before that, any other incarnations appeared, way before that, Rishis have spoken this truth. Only thing is, all other personalities like Ramachandra, Krishna and others, they stuck with it. They didn't say anything against it. Instead, they lived their life in this world and showed to us that this is the truth. That is how
deep this chapter is. Such an important chapter in the Bhagavatam. Although it is of the very highest realized state, for an average person you can only dream that state in our present situation. We can only dream in that state. And by reading this verse again and again, you will know where we stand, where we are, how long that journey is. But a personality like Uddhava needed that, because Uddhava was in a very higher state, is it not? Also in a higher state, served Krishna so well, 115 years, and Krishna's close, confidential, close confident associate, whom Krishna considers as his own, where Krishna says that, you are more dear to me than Lord Balaram, and you are more dear to me than Lakshmi Devi, you are more dear to me than Rukmini Devi, and so many statements, and more dear to me than Lord Shiva, closer than even Lord Balaram is you to me, he says to Uddhava. So for such a person, the highest truth, Krishna is revealing, speaking to him. And not that Krishna has spoken like that, he gave that realization to Uddhava. Uddhava, you can experience that. That's how Krishna is sending him off. Because how do we know that? At the end of this chapter, next chapter, that's when, I've spoken to you everything. Have you got it now? He asked Uddhava. Uddhava says, I'm experiencing that within. Krishna says, you can go now. You got it. You don't have to worry about it. So this is the truth. The truth is like this. Almeiva tadidam vishvam. What happens is, this discussion with Krishna and Uddhava inspires us something to look forward to. That there is a thing called a truth. And that truth is something worthwhile chasing after. Instead of falsely chasing something, for some false thing as the truth, you are chasing after that, and tomorrow you are disappointed. Once you have got that truth, you start realizing, oh, this is not everything, what I wanted in my life. Whereas this one thing, you will never be disappointed. This realization of this truth. You can never get disappointed. Because that is why Krishna says, once you have realized this, there is nothing else to be known after that. Remember, if you look into that last verse, you will say there, Padavyam avashishyate. It is referring to this. Padavyam avashishyate. Before he, that is in the 29th chapter, it is. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, Padavyam avashishyate. That is, that once you have got this, there is nothing else to be known. 11:29-32. It's referring to this knowledge. That naidad vijnaya jityaso nyadavyam avashishyade. Jityasu means all persons who are looking for, we are all, everybody is a jityasu, want to know the truth. What is the truth behind this world? What's the truth behind my existence here? What is that, what I want from this world? This is jityasu. Krishna is saying, Yedat naidat vijnaya jityasur jnadavyam avashishyade. For a jityasu, there is nothing to be known after this. Then, Pitva piyusham amardam. Suppose you are given nectar to drink, and you have drunk that nectar, then you won't ask for any something else, orange juice or 7-Up or Coca-Cola or anything like that, would you? Because you have drunk the nectar. Pitva piyusham amardam. Then padavyam navashishyade. Then there is nothing else you are interested in drinking. Similarly, this knowledge, Krishna is saying that Almeiva Tadidam Vishwam Srajade Srajadi Prabhu Trayade Tradi Vishwalma Hriyade Haryadi Ishwara. If that realization has come, then there is nothing else to realize after that. You got the final realization. So we will have a short break now, and then we'll continue after that.
Chedo Darpanam Arjanam Bhavamaha Davagni Nirvabanam Shreyakaidava Chandriga Vidaranam Vidhyavadu Jivanam Anandam Budivardhanam Pradivada Purnamradaswadanam Sarvapna Savanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namagari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Edadrishi tavakrupa bhagavan mamavi durdaiva midrisha ihajani manuragaha trunarabi shunichena tarorabi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavidam vajagadishakamai मम जन्मनि जन्मनि ईश्वरी भवदात् भक्तिरहै दुगित्वै आये नन्दतनुज किङ्करम् पतितामाम् शमी भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूळि सदृशम् विचिन्तय नयनम् गलदशुधारय वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निजितम् कदा वभू तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति इदं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशा इदं शून्या इदं जगल् सर्वं गोविन्द विरहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां पिनष्टुमम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विदधा तुलम्बडो मल्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा So, in this chapter 28, whatever Krishna has spoken to Uddhava before, it's more or less a summary of the whole thing. Because you can see, last chapter Krishna spoke Kriya Yoga, isn't it? Deity worship. Prior to that, he spoke Sankhya. And then he spoke a variation of the Sankhyam in some variation, which is the three modes of material nature. And how the three modes of material nature expands in everybody. And Krishna also said there, because of the expanded nature of these three modes, that we have this variegatedness in the creation. How varieties came in the creation? Because three modes of material nature is expanded. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. That is expanded and various objects have come here in this creation, which is called a Nanatvam. Nanatvam means that Egatvam has gone. Egatvam means oneness. Nanatvam means variations, variegatedness, variety. That is called a Nanatvam. Nanatvam means variety. Variety means, for example, man, woman, old people, young people, boys, children. Similarly, among the men, various nationalities, various cultures, various, all kinds of variations in the whole creation. This is about the human species. And the body also with different features, in different ways, different things, different languages. This is all Nanatvam it is. Different languages, different religions, different identities. Man, woman, all these are Nanatvam. Nanatvam means it has come into our bhavam, in our mood, variations has come. And the same Nanatvam exists in three states also. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Nanatvam there. Variations there. Then, bodily also, we have variations. Sthulam, Sushmam, Karanam. Three bodies we have got. Although we will say we have got only one body, in reality there is three bodies here. They are together. Sthulam, Shariram, Sushma, Shariram, Karana, Shariram. Isn't it? And then, similarly, you can also see three different colors, black, white, and the red. And other experiences, for example,
different rasas existing in us. All that, those things, you can see them in this nanatvam. Nanatvam means this variations. These are all variations, isn't it? Why in the human species, if you take, among men, if you look at it, you will see so much variations. Everywhere you look, you will see in America there are variations, in Europe there's variations, in India there's variations, Africa there is variations. When you are not knowing, you think you lump the whole group of people into one. But when you try to understand each country much more in a deeper level, then you see the variations more. That's what you are seeing there, the variations, is it not? So these variations have come. Why did they happen? How did that happen? Because of three modes of nature. Three modes of nature is behind that. That's what is causing that. So, for one whom that gunabhavam, gunabhavam means these three modes of material nature, if that goes away, if the gunabhavam goes away, then these variations you won't notice it. Vedabhavam will go. Vedabuddhi will go. So, to get that state, that you have no more Vedabuddhi inside, everything abhedam, and to understand and to realize that all these variations, what I am experiencing has no meaning here, and there's only one thing that is existing, and one who has come to that state, for him, that's only one thing is existing here, in him, that Vedabuddhi will go. Vedabuddhi will go. So, we have to get to that stage. That's what we want. We have to get to that stage. We have to bring that level, or otherwise, we have to make it happen. We have to make that happen. So, those who have heard Ekadasha Skandam up to this point, and one whom has realized it up to that point, then his Vedabhavam or Vedabuddhi goes away, and he gets established in the Advaita Jnanam or Abheda Bhava. He comes to establish himself in the state of Advaitam, where he gets permanently established and this Veda Buddhi has gone away from him completely. So, but it is in Sankhyam he mentioned about Prakriti and Purusha, two different features. And even though to us it appears as though in the form of Prakriti and Purusha. It appears as though Prakriti and Purusha. In reality, there is no two things here. There is no Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti and Krishna is coming to that now, that point. He is going to explain that even though Prakriti and Purusha exist there, in reality they are not two. That's a difficult thing to cross. Difficult thing to cross that stage. That Sankhyam is saying Prakriti and Purusha. Krishna is saying, no, Prakriti and Purusha, although it is existing like that to us at the moment, at a later stage, there is no two Prakriti and Purusha, there is only one Alma. Prakriti and Purusha means in this chapter, if you look at the 10th verse, you will see there Uddhava saying that naiva almano na dehasya samsradira drashto drishyayoho analma svo drisho risa isha kasya sad ubalabhyade. See there, drashtava drishyam, two things. Naivalpano na dehasya samsardar drashto drishyayoho. So this drashtava and drishyam. Prakriti and Purusha means drashtava and drishyam. That is the technical word for that. Prakriti and Purusha in the Sankhyam is drashta and drishyam in the Vedantam. So that means I am there and I am seeing something. I am the drashta and you are the drishyam for me. For you are the drashta, we are all the drishyam for you, in that way. I am the drashta, the rest everything else is drishyam. So, Prakriti and Purusha is like that. Prakriti and Purusha is like that. So, I'm saying, I've heard, I have touched, I have smelled, I have tasted, I have known, I have enjoyed. All this is drishyam. All this is drishyam. So, how you see things, how you hear about the things, or how you taste the things, how you touch the things, how you enjoy the things, all of that is drishyam. Whatever you hear, whatever you touch, whatever you taste, whatever you see, whatever you smell, all that is drishyam. All that is drishyam. So, for example, everything what you see with the eyes, all the objects you see with the eye is its drishyam. Is its drishyam. And drishyam of the drikka. Drikka means the eye. So, eye's drishyam is everything what you see. Similarly, ear is the drikka. Everything what you hear is the drishyam. The nose is the drikka. Everything what I smell with the nose is drishyam. We'll use the same word. It is easier than drikka drishyam. Because they're all famous words in the Vedanta. I am tasting something, the tongue is tasting. Tongue is the drikka. What I am tasting, whatever I am tasting, that is the drishyam. Mind is the drikka. And whatever thoughts is coming to the mind, it's the drishyam. See that? Drikdrishya relationship it is, called Drikdrishya Vivekam. Drikka and drishyam. In this body, everything is like that, drikka and drishyam. So, if you look at it like that, you can see here that for the senses, intelligence and the mind, they are the drik, and all creation, the world what you are perceiving now, is its drishyam, is the drishyam. And that senses, mind and the intelligence, that is jadam. It is jadam it is. So for example, all the drishyam, what it is seeing there. Suppose it's seeing a form. It's seeing a form. And as much as that form is jadam, similarly the eye is also jadam. Jadam means lifeless. There is no chaitanyam there. But that power which gives the life to the eye and which gives life to that living first. For example, suppose I am seeing somebody, I am seeing you. And when I am seeing you, my eye which is seeing you and you as the object, if I am not there in me, real I is not in me, you are dead to me. You are a dead matter. Jadam it is. You are jadam. My eye is also jadam. I feel that you have life. There is a living being there. Not because there is life in you, because there is life in me. You see that logic? Vedantam's logics are very sound. That if they keep going back to the root, where it's coming from. There is life in you. I am feeling that. There is life in that person. And my eyes are making contact with that object. But both the eye and that person has got life because there is life in me. Is it not? There is life in me. So, and that is Krishna. That life which is present in me, which gives life to my experience of life through my eye and through the into the object, is all because of the presence of Krishna inside me, life inside me, life inside me. So, all the senses in the same way, all senses, and their capacity to experience a particular object, to see, to touch, to smell, to taste, and to experience all that, is created by this presence of Atma inside. And one who knows his own identity, Susvarupam. If you realize you, yourself, who you are, then all these things like senses, the mind and the objects all disappears. All disappears. You are not experiencing them anymore like the way in the vacant state you are now. In the vacant state now I am seeing somebody, I am saying good morning to you. Or anything like that. On what basis? Because I am the body, you are the body. Nothing more than that. Is it not? So in the drigdrishya vivekam, because of this drigdrishyam, all the vyavaharam is happening. Because of drika and drishyam. But, without the presence of life, even without the presence of life, once you have realized the self, these things don't exist. But without the presence of life, the drishyam can still exist. Drishyam can still exist. From this you can understand that drishyam is not separate from the jiva. From the jiva. That will be clear at that time. For example, that drishyam, so I am seeing something, anything for that matter. That's drishyam. That drishyam exists. Drishyam doesn't have a life. Drishyam doesn't have a life. But its existence, I am accepting. For example, this mic. It doesn't have a life as such, like in another living force. It's not there. But its existence, I am accepting that it exists, isn't it? And why I am feeling its existence? Because there is life in me. There is life in me, therefore I am feeling its existence. So even if the object doesn't have any life, I can accept its existence because there is a presence of life in me. How important this is of your existence. This is never taken into account in any of these scientific studies. They are not able to see this. That this power of recognition of the existence of all these planets, creation, universe, everything, where is it coming from? It's coming from inside. If I'm not there, where is the universe? Where is all these planets which you're going running after, researching this, researching that? So, who is more important here? Is the planets more important or this awareness in me more important? Because if this awareness is not there, planets are not there. None of these things is existing. So that is where rishis have found this one important principle, that the satta is this awareness inside, not the what you perceive outside. The objects are not important. The person who is seeing the object is more important. Suppose that satta is not there, the satta inside. So just like you can see the pot now through the earth, what the same example you are talking about. That you can see the pot through the earth only, because it's made of the earth. And you can only say, pot is different, the earth is different. That's how you will talk about it. This is a pot, we say it's made of earth. You can say like that. So, but if you say, I'm removing the earth from that, then there is no pot. You say, once you take the earth out, then there is no pot anymore. So, if the pot is not there, earth is still there. Earth is still there. But if the earth is not there, you can't say the pot is still there. You can't say the pot is still there. This is the principle. So, out of these two now, if you are taking the example, the pot and the earth, what is the real thing? Pot, earth is the real thing. Pot is not the real thing. Similarly, when there is no life inside, when there is no life inside, awareness inside, all these things don't exist. The world doesn't exist. So therefore, when the objects are not there, life is still there. And the difference between the drika and drishyam is because of this gunabhavam only. That is how drika and drishyam has come into existence. I don't know whether you understood what I'm saying. That between the earth and the pot, earth is the cause. Earth is what is created the pot. Without the pot, earth can exist.
But without earth, pot cannot exist. Drikkadrishyam is due to the variations in the Gunabhava. Gunabhava means that, suppose variation, my drikka, I, and the drishyam, the object what I am seeing, is different for different people. I am the drik, when I say drik, is the seer, and the object what you are seeing, drik and drishyam, it is varying from one person to another because of the differences in the gunabhava. Suppose in someone, goodness is very high, very higher level degree of goodness, then that person will see this world in one way. Suppose in one person, rajogunam is very high, rajasa nature is high, he will see the world in a different way. Another person who has got tamogunam in a very high degree, he will see the world in another way. So, gunabhavam, when the gunabhavam changes, the drishyam changes to him. Even though it is the one substance, when you look at it. So gunabhavam, in other words, this gunabhavam particularly is Maya's creation. Maya's vritti, it is called. Vritti. Maya's vritti is this gunabhavam, and that comes through five senses. Comes through the five senses. Because who actually experiences this? Through the five senses, isn't it? Five senses are experiencing that. So, all these things, which I am not at the moment, but when I am present there, the ability to recognize their existence has come to me because of my presence. I am able to recognize my ability to recognize the existence of all these creation in me has happened because of the presence of Atma there. So, in reality, the cause for this world is me. Because I am there, the world is there. So, the existence or the cause of everything, it is coming from me. So, Krishna says here, and if I am able to remove that Veda Bhavam, if I can come to realize this, that I am responsible for the variations of this drishyam, then if I can remove that inside me, then it will go outside also. This Veda Bhavam is in me, is it not? So if I succeed in me, removing that Veda Buddhi, Veda Bhavam in me, this Veda Bhavam, what I am experiencing in the world, will leave me. It won't be there anymore, because it's gone inside me. Right now, where is the Veda Buddhi? Veda Buddhi is inside me. Veda Bhavam I am experiencing in me, not in the world. World is variety, so many things going on. But this Veda Buddhi, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad, this is nice, this is not so nice, this is right, this is wrong. All this Dvaidam, where is this? It is in me, is it not? So, this is where I have to remove it, not in the world. World, leave it like that, leave behind that. This problem, Krishna says here, this world is existing because Dvaidam is there. If Dvaidam is there, Dvaidam is the Sata, the essence of this world is Dvaidam. Because there, I am feeling, apart from me, so many other things are existing here. And that misunderstanding, apart from me, there is something else, so many other things are existing here. And because so many other things are existing here, apart from me, I am saying that this is good, this is bad, this is nice, tasty, this is not so tasty, and this is happiness, this is distress. And this Veda Bhavam or Veda Buddhi has come to me, for what reason? Due to Gunabhavam. Due to Gunabhavam it has happened. So therefore, I am glorifying something and I am criticizing somebody. I am glorifying someone and I am criticizing. Like in the first verse, Krishna spoke about that. Parasabhava karmani yaprashamsadi yanindadi. Krishna says, ന പ്രശംസേന്ന ഗ്രഹയേത് വിശ്വമേകാത്മകം പശ്യൻ പ്രകൃതി പുരുഷേന ച. സോ വൈ ഡിഡ് ദി സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഹാസ് കം നിന്ദ ആൻഡ് പ്രശംസ? ബിക്കോസ് ഐ ലൈക്ക് ദിസ്, ഇറ്റ് പ്ലീസസ് മീ. ദ അതർ വൺ ഐ ഡോണ്ട് ലൈക്ക് ഇറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് പ്ലീസ്, ഇറ്റ് ഗീവ്സ് മീ പെയിൻ. വേദബുദ്ധി, വേദബുദ്ധി. സോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഓൺ ദ പ്രിൻസിപ്പിൾ ഓഫ് ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് ഐ എം ഡിനൈങ് സംതിങ് ആൻഡ് ഐ എം ആക്സെപ്റ്റിംഗ് സംതിങ് ഓൺ ദിസ് പ്രിൻസിപ്പിൾ. ഇൻ റിയാലിറ്റി കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ദർ ഈസ് നോ ടു തിങ്സ് ഹിയർ, ദർ ഈസ് നോ ടു തിങ്സ് ഹിയർ, ടു തിങ്സ് ഹാവ് ബീൻ ഹാപ്പൻഡ്. സോ ഡ്യൂ ടു ദി ഗുണഭാവം ഇൻസൈഡ് മീ ഐ എം ഫീലിംഗ് ഇറ്റ് നൗ ദാറ്റ് ദർ ഈസ് ഡിഫറൻസസ് ഡ്യൂ ടു ദി ഗുണഭാവം ഇൻസൈഡ്. Therefore, suppose you have succeeded in removing this gunabhavam inside, Vedabhavam will go with that. Vedabhavam will go away. If Vedabhavam is not there in a person, then you will not be able to appreciate anybody's swabhavam or his karmam. You will not be able to criticize or condemn anybody's karmam or swabhavam. Swabhavam and karmam is the two things we, when we talk about, isn't it? Somebody's swabhavam and his karmam. These are the two things we glorify or criticize. So once the Veda gunabhavam has gone, Vedabhavam will go. Vedabhavam has gone, then you will not be able to see any more any differences in one's swabhavam or karmam. Therefore, Ninda and Stuti will stop along with that. So Krishna is saying here that right now we are saying some things are nice, everything is nice, and some things are not so nice. We say some things are nice, some things are not nice. Like you can see advertisement and all takes advantage of this, because they know that there is gunabhavam in us, Vedabuddhi is there, and they are constantly advertising that this is the thing, good thing for you. These things are not good for you. So our Veda Buddhi goes along with that and accept that. Vyavaharam is nothing but Veda Buddhi. Vyavaharam is nothing but Veda Buddhi, isn't it? Somebody says to you, British Airways is good to travel. Air India is useless. So like this, Veda Buddhi, isn't it? Veda Buddhi makes all these things happen. So something is nice, something is not nice. Something we want it, something we don't want it. And all these appreciations and condemnation and all these things creates a Veda Buddhi inside us. And whatever you think is good, ragam comes, attachment. And whatever you think bad, dvesham comes, aversion. Try to relate this with the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atmavashyer vithayalma prasadam adigacchadi. See, there Krishna spoke the result. Here Krishna is saying the reason behind that analysis. Ragam dvesham has to go from inside. Why did ragadvesham comes to us first instance? Due to Veda Buddhi. Why Vedabhavam came? Due to Gunabhavam. So you can see one connects with the other. Gunabhavam is the reason for the Vedabuddhi. Vedabuddhi is the cause of this Ragadvesham. And due to Ragam, why Ragam? Because of the Vedabuddhi I started thinking something is nice. I have Ragam there. Somewhere else I felt it is not so nice. It's no good. So I have, Vedabuddhi tells me I have Dvesham in me. Towards that, Dvesham developed. So, as long as Gunabhavam, as long as Ragadvesham inside there, Dvaitam is there. Dvaitam is there. So because there is Ragadvesham, to certain things I am attached. I like certain things. And to some other things I don't like. Aversion. Aversion to other things. And this is what is called material existence. This is what called material existence. Material existence is not that I am getting some sickness because of material existence. I am getting sick in my body or some problems in my material life. That is not material existence. Material existence is this. That inside Ragadvesham is building up.
inside attachment, aversion, I mean able to getting attached to something and aversion to something else. This is samsara. This is called material existence. Precise definition is like that. Samsara dhava nanalisa loga. And we are burning in this ragadvesham, all of us. We are burning because of this ragadvesham. Is it not? Ragadvesham is the whole problem. That's what is causing the fire of material existence. Ragadvesham causes the fire of material existence. Any problem, anywhere in the world you take it and have a look at it, you will see this. Ragadvesham is already there inside. And somebody is saying, somebody is attached to this side or that side. And there is ragam dvesham there. And that ragadvesham has caused this problem. So, that is what is called material existence. And this whole activity is happening through the, whole activity is happening through the mind. It's happening through the mind. And if this mind, the whole thing is happening through the mind, if this mind become in shanti state, if it becomes very focused, and if it becomes inward, toward inward looking, that is has not happened. And that is why this samsaram continue to exist. As long as the mind doesn't become in shanti state, as long as the mind does not become focused, as long as the mind does not go inward, rather than going outwardly to the world, when these three things are happening, that is the prime reason for this situation of material existence continue to exist because of that. So, because without the mind, there cannot be material existence. There cannot be material existence. So, when the thoughts that's coming into the mind, if they have all gone away, they have stopped coming, no more thoughts coming to the mind, that means mind has come, subdued itself, come to the control. That what remains then is only pure Chaitanyam. Shuddha Chaitanyam alone exists. Imagine that state, that you are in that state. Then mind has gone away. There is no thing called mind inside. That means there is no thoughts also happening inside. Because once the thoughts have gone away, what mind is there after that? That is why we say this prapancham or creation is manomayam. Is manomayam, which Krishna has spoken before, isn't it? In the 7th chapter, Vidhi Maya Manomayam, he said. Vidhi Maya Manomayam. In the 7th chapter, Vidhi Maya Manomayam. That Yadidam Manaso Vaja Chakshubhyam Shravanadivi Mashuram Rihyamanamcha Vidhi Maya Manomayam. Vidhi Maya Manomayam. The same words. Nashuram Rihyamanamcha Vidhi Maya Manam. Yadidam Manaso Vaja Chakshubhyam Shravanadivi Nashuram Rihyamanamcha Vidhi Maya Manomayam. Vidhi Maya Manomayam. So therefore, prapancham, creation, is mayomayam, manomayam, and as well as it is mayamayam. And that mind, which is manomayam, that mind is chindamayam, isn't it? Chindamayam, full of thoughts. And all the thoughts are coming from three modes of material nature. Where does the thoughts originate? They originate from the three modes of material nature. And knowing this, and quietly removing that gunabhavam from inside through spiritual life, that is what is required. Through spiritual life, removing that three modes of material nature and the gunabhavam inside, and that way removing the thought waves inside, and that is what is required. That is so far what Krishna has spoken in the last few chapters, isn't it? So, suppose a person is always absorbed in this spiritual life, always absorbed in spiritual life, then will the gunabhavam won't happen to him, to that person? No, gunabhavam cannot happen because gunabhavam won't develop in him because the purity has gone. Purity has come in the sense that shuddhi, pure state has come. That means there is no gunabhavam inside and all the impurities have gone away. What does that mean? It means that in his mind, namarupam is not happening anymore. There is no Namarupam anymore. If this Namarupam is an indication of impurity inside, our impurity inside. The more Namarupam inside us means that we are controlled by the Prakriti. Controlled by the Prakriti. So, if the Namarupam does not develop inside a person, see, for example, Namarupam does not develop, then what will happen? Madam Matsaram, Ragadvesham, they will go. Because of Namarupam comes Ragadvesham. See that? A particular name and form, if it has popped up inside, towards the name and form, I develop attachment and aversion. So, Ragadvesham comes from Namarupam. Namarupam is the cause behind that. Once the Namarupam does not develop inside, Namarupam means name and form, does not develop inside, then what exists remaining there is that one tattvam, paratattvam, what Krishna addressed here, there is no second thing, object existing anymore, and this is the culture or samskaram what we have to get to. And whatever we have spoken so far and read about that, the samskaram that has to come to us eventually is this state. This is the state what we need to get to. That Namarupam should not come up inside. And due to the effect of Namarupam, Ragadvesham should not come inside. If this culture builds up inside, you have got to that state. You got to that state. So, removing Namarupam is not easy, because Gunabhavam will create them, Namarupam. So, here you can see, Namarupam is constantly appearing and disappearing in front of us, isn't it? Different Namarupam is appearing and disappearing in front of us. So, suppose if we have succeeded, that they are not building up anything. No, Namarupam is developing inside. They are in relationship with us. They are temporary. They are not permanent. They appear and then they disappear from us. And they are temporary objects. Therefore, they cannot be the truth. They cannot be the truth. So, if these objects are not the truth, and if I have developed faith in all these objects, what does that mean? That I have put my faith in the untruth, not in the truth. Namarupam is not the truth. They are Namarupam. They'll come and they'll go. And I have put my faith in this Namarupam. If I put my faith in the Namarupam, what does that mean? You are not putting your faith in the truth. Instead, you are putting all your faith in the untruth. Untruth. So such a person who is like that, what chance has he got to realize the self? So, the fundamental thing is, a person who is always in the grip of Namarupam, who is always under the grip of Namarupam, name and form, if all your faith and trust, everything is in that Namarupam, such a person, what does that indicate? It's indicating to us that your faith is in the untruth. And a person whose all his faith and trust, everything is in the untruth, what is not the truth, such a person, what possibility is there for him to realize the truth? This is a big question.
Do you see what I'm saying? That that Namarupam all develops in the mind. And all my awareness and faith, everything, consciousness, is centered around that. Here Namarupam is appearing and disappearing in front of me, name and form. And they are temporary, is it not? Namarupam is temporary. Say, look at other people, for example. I'm looking at others. How long this form and this existence I will experience? For a short period of time. After some time, I will leave this body, or you may leave your body. So therefore, current relationship is purely on the Namarupam level, on the name and form. I'll take your name is such, or your form is like this. That's all my relationship with you at the moment. Is it not? Purely on the Namarupam level, we are relating each other, all of us, Namarupam level. And I'm saying that this is all the truth in this world. This is my truth as far as I'm concerned. I'm not able to realize it, that this falsity I have in me, in my understanding, I'm not able to throw it away. I'm holding on to that. And I live in this world with that understanding. So and so is my wife and children, and all Namarupam only. So all my life is running on the principle of this Namarupam. Now, Namarupam you know very well when you analyze it, and it is this Namarupam that has created Ragadvesham inside, which Krishna is telling us to take it out from inside. So, when Ragadvesham goes away, Dvandvam goes away, Namarupam goes away from inside, then you can talk about spiritual life. Because all our faith, all our attention at the moment is in the Namarupam. Is in the Namarupam. And Namarupam is not the truth. We know that very well. And if I am putting all my faith in the Namarupam, and I my belief and all my trust in that Namarupam, that means that my belief is in the untruth, and the truth I am not willing to put my faith inside. Truth I am not willing to put the faith inside. Such a person, there is no possibility for him to experience the Atma inside, self, the spirit inside. How will he experience that? Because all he knows is Namarupam. He is completely stuck in that state. So, therefore, we have to believe the truth. We have to accept the truth inside, and untruth, we have to learn to reject also. So all the Namarupam Padartham, everything is Asatyam. And at Namarupa Padartham, this Namarupam and the objects in the Namarupam, they are the ones present in this creation, in the form, the way we are perceiving them, and they present in front of us in the form of three modes of material nature. What is three modes of material nature means? Three modes of material nature means, for example, if you are taking about the human population, or say, just for example, all the people whom we are regularly dealing with, all of them, you can put them in these three categories. Namarupam, but under Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. So they are present in for me, they are present in front of me in the form of Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Because that's what is dominating them, each of them, isn't it? And because of these three gunam, it is experienced in three different states. Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam, in the three bodies. In the Stulam level, it is in the Sattvagunam. Because of Sattvagunam, I experience in one way, in the gross level, in the vacant state. And in the due to Rajogunam, in the little bit more subtle level, in the dream state, and in more subtle level, in the deep sleep state, due to Tamogunam. The same truth. That the world, what I am experiencing in the vacant state, in Sattvagunam, in a Stulam, in the gross level, in due to Rajogunam, in the dream state, in a subtle level. Due to Tamogunam,
in the deep sleep state that the same world is present in front of me in the most subtle level. So the subtle, grosser and further most gross in all these three states. Suppose these three gunams are moved away from you, from inside us, if the three gunams have gone away, then in these three levels the world cannot exist for us anymore. Suppose all the three modes of nature has gone away from us, then the three worlds, what is causing us this vacant state, dream state, deep sleep state, they also will go away. And what remains there then is the only the truth, Brahmam, Satya Chitta Anandam, unbroken experience of that. So that Brahmanubhavam, which Krishna calls it as Brahmanubhavam, that is what we need to have. And what has created, we have forgotten the truth and we have manufactured an untruth and we have put all our faith in that untruth, and that's where we are situated at the moment. And we are living in this world thinking that that is all the truth. We have put all our faith in this Namarupam, which is untruth, and we have forgotten the truth, which is the Atma. Accepted Namarupam as the truth. We have created this Namarupam within us, and we are thinking that this Namarupam is the truth, and we are living in that state in this world. So, this is the basic ajnanam or avidya or his material existence of a person. Somebody's material existence or avidya or ajnanam or his samsaram, material existence, the basis of all that is this avidya. So, and this was created by ourselves. We created this ourselves. And this can only be thrown out by ourselves. We alone has to throw it out. And as long as we are not ready to do that, we are not willing to do that or ready to do that, you will remain in the material existence forever. There is no escape route from that. As long as we are not willing to do it, remove that avidya or ajnanam, ignorance from us, and able to come out of that false belief what we have in us about Namarupam and the untruth, and living in this world with this concept that this Namarupam is all real and that's only real, and completely ignoring the real thing, the truth behind it. If you live like that, it is not possible under any circumstances to realize the truth. That is important point. So, what will happen is, if you continue living like that, you will continue doing karmam in this world. The result of that karma means further material existence from that karma. Is it not? Karmam causes karma vasana, karma bhalam. Karma vasana will force you to accept another body, and in that body you will do again karmam, and in that way the cycle will tend to repeat again and again. So, and that means birth and death will happen repeatedly. Birth and death will happen repeatedly. To understand, while discussing this chapter, we have to talk about it from that state. We can't come down, oh, how can I live? You should not ask that question. Oh, if I think like that, how can I manage my life in this world? I have to live in this world. If you make that statement, then better don't read this chapter. In this chapter, Krishna won't accept any kind of excuses. Krishna is only telling you the truth and telling us very openly that till you come out of this Namarupam and escape yourself from this, your loving relationship, love affair with the world. That's what Krishna says. Your love affair with this world. Till you are not willing to come out of this, let's not talk about spiritual life. That's Krishna's point in this chapter. But we don't like to hear that, isn't it? We want a spiritual life, having a loving relationship with the world. That's what we are looking for. And if Krishna is saying anything like that, we will accept it. But when Krishna says to us, so unless you are willing to break up this loving relationship or love affair with this world, because the world is that, it's an untruth, and you are putting all your faith in there, and trying to tell us that, oh, I want to be happy here in this world. Krishna says, that's not going to work out. So he is saying to us, if you want to go in that direction, go ahead, live that life. But he is warning us what the after effect will be. The after effect will be that if you keep this relationship, you will again do karma here. You will engage in karma. You are not going to stay away from karma. You will do karma means karma phalam will come, karma vasana will come. Karma phalam may be good or bad means ragadvesham will be the after effect of the karma phalam. Ragadvesham will grow in the person. On the other hand, karma vasana will be there, which will create further bodies again. It will generate new bodies. So you can imagine, see the difficulty of karma. Karma creates these two things. One, it creates karma phalam. Karma phalam means you have ragadvesham there. If the results are very good, attachment. If the results are bad, anger, aversion. So ragadvesham is an after effect of karma phalam. Krishna is warning the danger of karma. So karma creates karma phalam, ragadvesham after effect, due to that you are bound. Karma creates karma vasana, due to that repeated cycle of birth and death. Because vasana means you build up a lot of vasana, means karana shariram is full, and to exhaust that, it will naturally give you the subtle body, inner fuel, and due to subtle body, another gross body, and with the gross body, subtle body and the causal body, another birth, another body, to get through that vasanas out, through that body. So constantly, cycle of birth and death, constantly building up vasanas and ragadvesham is the after effect of that material existence. When one person comes to realize this and start realizing that the whole problem, underlying problem is my acceptance of the world as real, that's where everything has begun. Till I come to that understanding, Krishna says there is no escape route. That is the reason why Krishna is keep insisting Vairagyam, Vairagyam, Vairagyam. Why is he saying this? Because nobody in this world so far has realized the truth keeping this world with him. It is those people who have escaped from this world who have realized the truth. They couldn't go to the spiritual world carrying this world with them. Whether it is Ramana Maharshi, whether it is Srila Prabhupada, whether it is Vivekananda, whether it is anyone else you can talk about. Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, all of them have only one thing to say to us. That these two things cannot go together. Cannot go together. That is a very important principle. So, because till we come out from this world, this experience of Atma, what Krishna is talking about, cannot happen. Cannot happen. And Vairagyam is that first step. That is why Vairagyam and Jnanam are closely connected. Closely connected. Closely connected. So, fundamentals you can't change. Krishna says, you have no responsibility in this world. Another statement. We will say, duty, duty, duty. We have wasted all life with this duty business. Isn't it? Particularly you will see in India, when you tell somebody this duty, well, this duty, that duty, duty towards the family, duty towards the society, duty towards the country. They have, society and this world has put all this on our shoulders. Thing called a duty. Krishna is saying, you have no duty here in this world. You have no duty. Because you are the one who created the world first. That's where it started. First you created the world, then you are thinking that, oh no, the world is there. First you created that, then you are thinking, oh, it is there. Real thing it is. So all what is happening here is, every jiva is spending his time here according to his prarabdha. That's all what life is. I have my prarabdha. Obama has his prarabdha. Cameron has his prarabdha. And all of us have our own prarabdha. That's all it is. This existence, What goes on here is all Maya. Maya is putting all the gloss over it, saying that you have to do this, you have to do that, you are this, you are that. But why are we here like this, the way we are now? Because of Prarabdham. Prarabdham has put us in this. And then that is what we are, every jiva is experiencing here, that Prarabdham, what is coming to him. And then you are saying, oh, what shall I do now? You are asking this question. Oh, I have to do my duty, don't I? And my family is there, and don't I have to look after the family? If I don't look after the family, people will curse me. Will they not think that I am such a useless person? And whereas this is my duty. Yes, yes, it's all fine. Where did this family come from? Krishna is asking that question. In this chapter, that's the most interesting thing. Krishna says, because we are like that, isn't it? We like to find something to make an excuse for something. Spiritually, these are our problems. So Krishna is saying, where did this family come from? He's asking. Think about this. Says, actually, your prarabdham has created your family. Nothing else. The so-called family around us is our own prarabdham that has created that family. And you are the one who are making it grow, that family to grow. And you are the one who are looking, protecting your prarabdham. Protecting your prarabdham. And you are thinking that you are looking after your family. Actually what's happening is, you are going through your prarabdham. But Maya makes you feel that you are looking after your family. So, and that is false ego. Ahankaram. That is false ego. Now you can understand how difficult it is to get rid of that false ego inside. So false ego is not that I keep my head very high and people say, oh, he is very proud. That is not the false ego. That is on a very gross level. But this subtle level false ego, to think that I have to look after my family, it's my family. If I don't look after, who will look after? All these excuses, and not realizing that it is only my prarabdham that is keeping within that family. Once that prarabdham is finished, family gone, I am gone. But I'm not getting that in the moment. Illusion is keeping me thinking that look, that family, as long as the family is okay, I'm okay. This is, every householder is thinking like that, is it not? That is householder life. Which householder is not thinking like that? Sometimes when it becomes very gross, it'll come out in a big way. But by and large, every householder is living in this illusion. Thinking that me, my family. Family life is okay. Everything is peaceful. Let's have a little bit of spiritual life to it. Krishna is saying, first get out of that prarabdham first, then we can talk spiritual life later. Because when you, inside me, I have accepted something very, very false as the truth. So the very fact that underlying principle of my spiritual life is falsity. Where is the question of any escape from that? So Krishna is saying here that due to false ego, you are thinking like that. Actually, every one of us, what we are experiencing here in this world is nothing but our prarabdham. Our prarabdham. And you will notice that I'll be dead and gone. They will still live here. As long as they are meant to live, they will still live here. So, therefore, you have to escape from your prarabdham and escape from here and realize the truth. Instead of thinking, creating artificially all the duties and responsibilities on your own shoulders and suffering from that and holding on to that illusion, thinking that this is the truth. That is not the truth. That is the most important message Krishna wants to tell us here. That, you see, unless all these basics are not cleared up, this chapter is a little bit hard. Therefore, many people don't read this chapter. Because it is too honest and truth it is. Only it will disturb your mind. What we like is Rukmini's marriage to Krishna, how it happened, the feast there, all these kind of things. They enjoy it. Beautiful. How Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. How Krishna had a great time with the other marriages, how he connected. That's why many people, when they read Bhagavatam, they stop with that. After that, they don't read Bhagavatam because it's not very enjoyable, relishable. So, here, Krishna's point is that nobody has any responsibility in this world. This is the truth. The truth is this. What we think and what we do is another thing. That's another thing. The truth is that you escape from your prarabdham and come back to your own spiritual identity. That is the final destination, and that is what is required. Nobody has any responsibility here, and nobody has any bhoktava, kartava and bhoktava. Nobody is enjoyer here. Nobody is enjoying here. So, knowing that one truth, which is ekam, evam, adhuriyam, brahmam. Knowing that truth and to get situated in one's own spiritual identity, that is all what Krishna is asking us to do. Never once Krishna said, you have this responsibility, that responsibility, and so many other things. Never. The only one and only one thing Krishna is asking us to do is that, know that the life in this world is nothing but your prarabdham. You have somehow or the other, prarabdham is like a jail, a prison it is. You have got into that prison, come out of the prison, get established in the truth what you are, and in that way you escape. You have no responsibility here, you have nothing else to worry about here. And therefore, then you will ask the question, should I not eat then? That will be the next question. Should I not eat then? You know what Krishna says? Don't desire even to maintain this body. Even that desire must go from inside. If it survives, let it survive. That's Krishna's answer to that. If the body survives, let it survive. Don't even think about maintaining the body. To that extent, it is from the platform of the truth. It is spoken. So, because, suppose the body survived, what profit are you going to get? Krishna's asking the next question. See, you, with all your best efforts, you managed to keep this body going for a while. Then what did you get after that? After keeping this body going? Because the very purpose of this body is to realize the self. Is to realize the self. And once you have realized the self, there is not any use of this body anymore after that. There's no use of this body anymore. So, I think we'll stop today. We'll continue with some kirtan for 20 minutes or 25 minutes, and then we'll see tomorrow.